What's up, everybody? Welcome to the episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
Hey, this is Luke.
And I'm really hungry.
Same.
All right. So real quick before we get started, thank you to some Twitch subs that came in. CM Hazel, Chosen, Holcomb, Controlled Pairs, SMI Jeff. Man, everyone just right out the gate.
Yep, thanks, really Jeff. Early. If you don't know, I know we mention it almost every recording, but we do also live stream on Twitch when we record our podcasts. You'll find us most Sundays on digital_logic spelled with a K on Twitch.
That's where this is where all the real fun happens. You got to be watching the show.
Yeah, you could miss quite a bit. Yeah. So Ray's not here today. He is up in Disneyland, probably hanging out in the Star Wars land. And taking his place, we have Loop. Welcome, Loop.
Welcome,
what's
Loop.
Up, guys? How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing as you, like I said, hungry, man. I'm doing this eat once a day thing, and I'm on day three, but it's working out.
Well, you can't complain because Luke's been doing it for 30 days
now. Yeah, I know.
And he's a pro.
Yeah.
But no, we're really excited to have Luke here in studio. If you, I want you to, of course, make your own introduction, but I had the privilege of meeting Luke IRL, and he's a little bit of Twitch famous. So if you haven't heard of Luke yet, just Google him. I'm pretty sure you'll find out everything you need to.
L-O-0-P.
Yeah.
L-O-0-P. And a couple underscores. How many?
Well, that would be for my Twitch channel, but if you go on Google and just type L-O-0-P, like, everything will show up.
Yeah, that's how I did it, and you were, you were all the top five results. Yeah. It's cool, man. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
What's up, guys? My name is Adam Loop, the Hades. I'm a Twitch streamer, also a YouTuber. I try to make YouTube videos, but mostly focus on Twitch. The main game I play would be CSGO. I've been playing Counter-Strike for about 7 years now. I started when I was like 11 or 12, and I've been addicted to the game ever since. So, I stream. Well, I was streaming pretty much every day, but right now I'm having some PC issues where my FPS drops only when I stream. Like, it drops massively. I've tried many games. And it's frustrating because I haven't been able to stream, you know. It's like, it's like a stop.
How big are your drops?
So like, for example, like, when I shoot at someone, it will go down to, like, 50 FPS from 300. So,
dang.
It just sucks. But, you know, I got really pissed. So, I went to Fry's. If you guys don't know, Fry's is, like, a big electronic store we have here in San Diego. Yeah. Equivalent to Best Buy. So
are they nationwide? I feel like they're pretty big.
They have one in Vegas.
Yeah, they're at least West Coast.
I think I went to a Fry's out in Atlanta. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So anyway, what'd you buy?
I bought a PC case, and I bought some thermal paste for, you know, the processor and stuff. But I'm still working on the build. I'm going to build a streaming PC. You know, even if I didn't have these issues right now, I still want to invest in a streaming PC. Yeah. The reason for that is I want to have some peace of mind when I'm playing the game, right? So I have absolutely, like, no interference from, like, other software. You know, I have one PC dedicated to playing the game.
Right.
And I have another PC dedicated just to streaming, you know?
Right.
It's pretty expensive, right? But at this point, like, I think it's worth it, you know? Because I play this game a lot, and I want to have the best performance when I play it.
Right, you know,
so I'm not worried about, like, random stuttering or jitters or stuff like that.
Anything, basically.
And when you're gaming, we're not just talking about casual games where you could pause. You are a competitive gamer.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about what games you're actually playing and streaming and your history with them.
Pretty much most people would definitely know me from Counter-Strike for sure. I started playing CS. It's a funny story, actually. I didn't think I would be telling this story, but here we go. So I was on vacation in Algeria.
Yeah.
You know, that's where my family is from. And so what happened was my mom had, like, a laptop, like a Toshiba or whatever. And my cousin borrowed a laptop, my older cousin. He borrowed a laptop, and he installed CS 1.6 on it to, you know, have a LAN party with his friends.
How long ago was this?
That was in 2011.
Yeah,
so that was 8 years
1.6,
ago.
1.6, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in 2011, 1.6 was basically
was
dead.
Old.
Yeah.
I was gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, once my mom got the laptop back, you know, I was just using it like for school or whatever. And then I see on the desktops a game called Counter Strike.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, like, I literally thought it was an antivirus or something. I didn't know
it
that.
It sounds like one. If you wouldn't know that it was a game, you would totally think it's an antivirus.
Absolutely. Because at that point, I didn't know that my cousin had borrowed a laptop.
McAfee Counter Strike.
And I was like, why would my mom be playing a first person shooter on her laptop?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's more of a virus than it would be antivirus because of all the toxicity that goes along with it.
Yeah, for sure.
God, the hate is real, dude.
Yeah, but it's weird, dude. Like, the first time I launched the game, it's crazy. Like, I had to scream, like, yes, I'm going to be addicted to this game. This is the game I will be playing for a long time. And, you know, that's
you knew
what
that the first...
I literally knew it the first time. Like, the first time I
even
launched.
Even though, were you on a touchpad?
Yeah, I played on a touchpad.
Oh, my gosh.
For like a year, I literally played
so
on a
you
touchpad.
Were the guy that I was killing back then. Because I was only killing one guy. It had to be the guy.
Probably,
it was probably the guy on the touchpad.
Probably me, yeah.
No, he is probably better than you on a touchpad.
On a touchpad.
Than
at this
you
point,
would be.
For sure. 100%.
No, what an amazing
I gotta
story,
ask
though.
You, and I gotta ask anybody who plays this much, like, what keeps it fresh, man? Like, one game? Like, what is it about it that keeps it fresh that, you know, you keep playing?
I mean, yeah, I guess if you look at it from an outsider's perspective, it does look like a simple game, but right. it's just really complex. Like, it's every round is different. Every round presents a new situation in which you have to work on your teammate to find a solution.
Right.
Or try to win from a tough situation, or change up your strategy a little bit. You can't keep stagnant, you know. Axe, you know, I used to play with her quite a bit, like a couple of weeks ago. And the reason we would play every night, despite the fact that we're playing the same maps, is just, well, for one, you know, we're having a lot of fun doing it, like,
right.
We're playing with our friends, but also, like, the game keeps on changing round to round, you know what I mean? And it's a great combination of mechanics, so, you know, aim and movement, and you have to have excellent communication and positioning, and it's just all these combined make a fantastic experience, you know? Yeah. It just never gets boring.
You dig the strategy and the competition of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how it is truly a team-based game.
It really is. It really is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think so without, like, class mechanics and stuff, but you really do. I mean, you guys have positions.
That's how we used to do
stuff,
it back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
All right.
Thanks for sitting in for Ray.
Yeah.
Yep. No problem.
It'll be easy shoes to fill, trust me.
All right. So on the radar, these are games that have come to our attention recently. There's been some talk recently. You know, we've been going pretty long, a couple episodes, and we've talked about, you know, where's some fat that we can cut out of the show, and definitely On the Radar came up. So we're going to be a little more tight about this. So only games that we feel strongly about we're going to be putting here. And there are definitely a few of those this week. So E3 is right on the verge of happening or actually happening. It's really hard to tell these days. It was supposed to start June 11th, but there's all sorts of announcements happening. One of those being gameplay footage of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And at first glance, it looks like Force Unleashed 3 to me. I don't know. I'm excited about it. I mean, it's Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I'm going to play it, going to buy it, probably going to enjoy it. But I don't know. How did you guys feel about the footage? Let me bring it up here.
It looks fucking fantastic. Yeah, it looks like a modern day version of those old games that you love, Bobby. And I think that's probably what they were going for.
Well, it isn't first person; it is third person.
It's third person.
And there's a lot of force powers being used, abilities that you unlock. I don't think any gunplay. I don't think you use guns.
I didn't see any gunplay at all.
What I understand, somebody made a connection on YouTube. I think it's when I was looking it up. They called it Lightsaber Sekiro. So we're looking at a lot of Jedi Force powers, lightsaber combat, and heavy mobility in terms of on-the-floor combat.
Yeah, you'll see it right now, how he slices people up. There's like execution moves. I think the last guy he kills here, right here. Oh, that was one. But there's one where he like cuts a guy in half. It's pretty fucking sweet, man. Yeah, like I said, it looks like a modern-day version of, like, what you were streaming the other day, Bobby. I don't know what you... I, I,
I haven't been streaming in forever. I don't know.
Well, last time you played one, which one was it?
It was
Force Un.
No, it wasn't Dark Before. It was Jedi Outcast.
Yeah, that's what Outcast. It reminds me of. In a modern day tone.
I don't know. I totally get the Force Unleashed vibe, but I'm okay with that because I like those games. And I think it's about time we had another one. Now, this does take place in between, right before the first Star Wars, or right after Order 66, where they say, like, we're going to kill all the Jedi. And there is a cameo by Saw right there. Guerrera.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, that was a good
nasty
move.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skill point acquired. So there's definitely some a skill tree here. And you can see like the force power bars come up when he's fighting. But yeah, it looks like they're going to have some cameos in here. Lando will probably be doing a voice. I don't know if he fits in the timeline, but we know Billy D. Williams is available.
Yeah, he's done. We bring this up, dude, because Billy D. Williams that did Lando, he's done every single Star Wars. He's done the voice. Every single thing that's come out that required him, he's been there because I haven't seen him in anything else, right?
Yeah, he was in The Ladies Man in the late 90s.
Oh, sorry.
With Tim Meadows.
I missed that. Sorry.
Luke, are you a big Star Wars fan or have played any of the Star Wars
games? Yeah, so when I was younger, I used to play a lot of Battlefront on PlayStation.
Okay, so this should translate very... Oh, I know.
Well, not really, because this is more lightsaber combat, right? There's no gunplay?
I didn't see any gunplay in any of this.
No.
Which seems...
But then again, it's alpha footage.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We don't know.
But they did show a lot of footage. And, you know, in the old Star Wars games, you got the lightsaber, but usually around level 3 or so, like, you had to work your way up to it, and it was kind of like a, you were like, oh, finally got the lightsaber, now I'm going to be badass. Like, it was a big deal once you got that. So I wonder if they'll start you out with it, or, I don't know. We'll see how the game paces itself.
I mean, based on the trailer, it looks like that's a pretty pivotal part of the game, right? As opposed to gunplay.
All the combat is Star Wars based.
I should remember that I used to play a lot of Lego Star Wars, but, you know, that's like a whole different series.
Lego.
Yeah.
Lego games were great just to re-experience the story in kind of a cute way, though. I enjoyed the Star Wars games in those.
Yeah.
And I do like that they, not just these glow bugs or whatever, but there's like a bunch of like animals and and that's what's it's a small part, but it's a cool part of Star Wars, just like these weird animals. There's like these giant spiders later on, and then
let me go to the spiders here, and that's why I think people were comparing it to Sekiro, because it's a lot of sword play and it's a lot of figuring out opponents' moves, learning to dodge them, counter them, and then get your attacks in. But I've never played Sekiro, so I can really... So,
Recycle said, it's like KOTOR. They start you off with a bunch of other weapons, but you throw all your skills into lightsabers because inevitably you will master the item, or you will master them. Hmm. I mean, who's not going to pick this lightsaber?
Right.
All right?
It's just the obvious choice.
I'll take the giant blue cock, please. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no one's picking the blaster rifle over the lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were some other... This was part of the EA Play E3 announcements that happened. We'll talk more about that later, but I just wanted to mention this on the radar, just get it out of the way, because I know we're all excited about that. Another big thing was, as soon as we opened the Steam page today, Cyberpunk 2077, a big banner ad right on the Steam page. I did not see this morning when I was on Steam.
No, nor I.
And you click on it, and they now have a Steam page with the release date, April 15th, 2020, and $60 is the price.
Mm.
Wow, the pre-purchase is the full value. That, I mean, it's already bought.
Yeah,
so I think would you guys pre-purchase this, or wait until the day?
I don't see a reason.
It's not like they got to run out of stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was a video that I saw. You might want to check it out before you take my word for it, but he's basically saying that you kind of get more with the standard edition than you do with the
deluxe
editions.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're basing that on The Witcher and how that worked out, and how like you don't go with the Extreme Edition right out of the bat with CD Projekt Red, the way that they do things. I don't know. Watch the video. Just be like different editions.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, probably a day one for me,
Yeah, the only value I see to pre-purchasing a game at full price is if you get alpha access or some type of exclusive.
Something, right?
You know, maybe... I know some games release a day or two early for those that do pre-purchase.
I mean, sometimes you just really want a game, though, and this is one of those. I mean, I pre-purchased the Wolfenstein games because I just knew, like, day one I'm playing those. I will say, though, The Witcher 3... had a release date, and that got postponed almost a year. Well, how long did that get postponed? It was like supposed to be out March 2015 or something like that. And it got postponed for a while. So I really hope they stick to this. Obviously, if they need more time, you know, whatever, to make a good game, like I trust them, but I really hope that is the actual release date. Still 10 months away though. That's almost a year.
I'm going to go ahead and need you to play The Witcher 3. Okay.
All right. Next up, Shank.
Yeah, not much to say about this side-scroller 2D. So, yeah, 2D side-scroller hand-drawn art, it looks like. Very, very good reviews. 93% on Steam. Wow. Thousands of reviews. It's an old game. It's been on Steam forever, but it's $2.50. How could I fucking pass up on this deal?
Well, there's a sale right now.
Yeah, there's a sale on Clio?
What is Clay?
Klei?
K-L-E-I.
So. So I picked it up, and I picked up part two, which the reviews aren't quite as good, but it was another $2.50, so $5. And then what else did I pick up? So more on that next week, hopefully, if I have time. And Void Bastards I picked up because Ray sent me a 25% off. So it's a $30 game. I mean, I stick to my guns here, man. When I saw this game, I was like, this is my jam. Mm-hmm. This is exactly my jam. It's a first-person, cel-shaded, roguelike with kind of wacky crafting. I don't like traditional crafting, but and based on the System Shock series, made by the System Shock people. So this is right up my fucking alley. And I'll go to this before Shank. I feel like Shank is something like I just want to fuck around a little bit. When I want to really get into something, I'll be playing this right here.
Yeah, I agree. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks fucking awesome, man.
It's a whole new dynamic, too, in terms of just... It's taking something old, but refreshing it with all of the quirkiness of what you can bring from the System Shock universe. And then also with the class building and whatnot. That seems really great.
Yep.
Whereas Shank, I don't know, side-scrolling platformers.
Yeah. It could be fun, really, but that game was released on Steam in 2010.
Careful, Chio, you're going to have a double workout, homework of...
double serving of guacamole.
All right, next up, there has been some more footage for Doom Eternal. They've been promoting the hell out of this game. Somebody was posting on Reddit giant banner ads they were doing on the side of a building. Just really, really promoting this game, trying to get it out there. And everything looks great. So we've seen some gameplay from a while ago, but the new stuff, it looks like they had some sort of keynote speech, the id guys.
Yeah, I watched almost all I watch all the gameplay footage. And, you know, it looks just so much better than the last one. And the last one was a fucking masterpiece. So it's like, oh man, there's so much more mobility on this. If you'll see on the bottom left corner, there's that arrow stripe, those what are they called, chevrons. Those are your dashes. So there's like double jumps, triple jumps, and also you can chain that together with your shotgun fucking grappling hook, which is dope. So many executions, and then, I don't know, you got to watch this. I had seen it originally, and I was like tentatively excited, but now that I've seen this new gameplay footage, I am so fucking excited for this.
Is this a multiplayer game?
So that's what they just announced. So 2016 had full-on multiplayer, right? Like team deathmatch, whatever.
Okay.
This is, I assume, they haven't said that this is going to have it too, but what they do have is Dark Souls-like. So Bobby, you... Chi can all come into my game, take over and possess demons and attack me while I'm playing.
That's funny.
Yeah,
it's like versus. Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead most likely.
If we're friends. No, like, so anytime during my gameplay, if I have that option open,
so it's just like a playing, Redstone.
If I'm playing, yeah,
Dark
exactly.
Souls.
No, not even that. If I'm just playing the campaign, basically, if I have it open, you guys can attack me at any point and continue to attack me over and over. You're basically just taking over the bodies of the demons attacking you.
That's fun.
It's fucking super fun.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's great for streaming, too, because people will want to hop in and...
Yeah, their names are above their heads too. So it would be like Smoochie. Smoochie's trying to give you a smooch with
you. Take my smooches.
Somebody had mentioned the other day, they were like, hey, let's play some Doom multiplayer. And it's like, I totally forgot about that. But I was like, that sounds like a fantastic idea. I was busy doing something else. But the whole thing when Doom 2016 came out, like they released the multiplayer first and everyone was like, this is all right, but it's just like, you know, an old late 90s shooter. It's kind of boring. Like, and everyone, all of a sudden there was this black mark on Doom and everyone was worried. Then the single player came out and people were like, this is incredible, and totally, totally saved it. But I remember that very briefly. Like they had the game started off to a really bad start. Mm-hmm. Like the Steam reviews were really bad just because they released the multiplayer first.
Loop, did you play the 2016 Doom?
No.
Do yourself a favor.
Okay.
When you get home. Right. If I had one recommendation, it would be that.
Doom?
Yeah. Okay. Doom 2016.
I concur with that. It's a great game, and I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but the time that I did put into it, I enjoyed a lot. I'm glad that they worked on the mobility. I'm glad that they're doing things to make jumping and dashing a little bit more fluid than the Doom 2016, because that was probably my biggest complaint, how half the game I was either focused on shooting or half the time I was focused on platforming. There wasn't a lot of cohesion between the two. So in this one here, if they make mobility and combat run together smoothly, that would be, I mean, already it's a amazing. Yeah,
you kind of glide along in the first Doom as it is. You know, you don't. It's definitely a change of pace from Counter-Strike. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is just Doom. Anything I'm going to buy, just hands down. I just have such a history with that game. Yep. All right, last up, Battalion 1944. Oh. So we talked a little bit about this.
Well, this isn't really on the radar. It's kind of meant to be a highlight. So I guess we can move on to like my experience with Battalion 1944. Ray, I believe in the last podcast, brought it up saying, hey, if you like Counter-Strike, you'll like this game. I can definitely say it's not so much like Counter-Strike than it is more Call of Duty when I played it. Loop, you were just gifted this game by Harry GG's, and I would love to play this game with you.
Okay.
I enjoyed my time playing Battalion. It was a different pace, but it was a lot of what you love out of the classic deathmatch shooter or arcade shooter. I played a lot of arcade to learn the guns. It's weird because when you queue with people, it doesn't let you change teams. Uh-huh. That's one of my biggest complaints. So I would jump into arcade, play the different modes like control point, kill count, and capture the flag. And it's good. It's good fun. And I think that there's only team speak on. You can't really talk to everyone, but there's global chat. So there's a lot that you're limited to when it comes to the multiplayer in this game. It doesn't even let you choose control point or capture the flag. It just throws you into whatever arcade map is available. There are a couple different community server options you can look up too.
Okay.
But it never seemed to work for me. So basically, you have to do
quick play.
More or less, because the server browsers weren't working for me, but I didn't really try all too often. It was frustrating not being able to play with those you queued up with. But you can play competitive in this game, and that's where it's, you know, bomb site A, bomb site B. That's where it's a little bit more of like the CS elements. But outside of that, the way you move and like the guns. And the mechanics, like it reminded me more of Call of Duty and Day of Defeat because it's just like the because of the weaponry.
Right.
But when it comes to like, I don't know why people compare this to Counter-Strike because I don't feel it when I play the game. Mm. You're moving through this, like you're mounting things. There's a lot of different like going in and out of building structures like you would in Call of Duty or Battlefield. But with this one here, I definitely think it's a good break from Counter-Strike, but playing this game makes me want to play Counter-Strike because I'm like, okay, this is a fun enough shooter, but I want to play a serious shooter. So let's go back to Counter-Strike.
Right. I mean, even without the CS elements, I do enjoy games like this where you can kind of run around and just kill people, right? Cause, I don't know if you remember, but earlier I was alluding to COD 4, Call of Duty 4. And when I played COD 4, I would only play Team Deathmatch.
Mm-hmm. And, just for the stupid fun.
I mean, right? Yeah, I don't know. I just like running around throwing flashbangs and killing people. I don't know what else to say. I mean, this looks pretty close to what I've been looking for in that kind of game. And I mean, I have the game. I'm going to download it tonight.
Awesome. And you're a very much competitive gamer. You're a pro gamer. A CS pro gamer.
I'm not a pro player.
You're not a pro player? Okay.
I'm definitely in the top 1% for sure.
Top 1%?
Or probably higher than that, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. We've got a top 1%er here in the studio. And I believe it. I've seen you in action. It's pretty amazing what you can do. Would you say you're better at COD or definitely CS is your most highly skilled game?
Oh, definitely CS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. I think that'd be a harder game to be good at, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about those games.
Much more technical.
Very interesting, though. Last week when we looked into this game, I think right when it came out, it was about 5,000-6,000 concurrent players, and now they're up to 9,000-10,000.
Yeah, so it's growing.
Seems like a lot more people, like word has spread.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
To be honest, I thought it would have been more, though. Based on the hype that it's been getting.
And it has mixed reviews right now, too, which I would imagine affects the price.
Yeah, well, the recent reviews are good. Mixed reviews at 57.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what that was. We looked at it last week.
Yeah, Ray was talking about, but who listens to that guy? It's so easy to attack him when he's not here.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to listen to this episode. Maybe he will, because he doesn't
I think
listen.
He will.
Oh, he probably
will. See how much shit we talked about. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Hey, Compton, thanks for the Twitch sub there.
Yes.
Awesome, man. All right. Let's talk about some other games that we have been playing. You know what? I had mentioned last week that I picked up an old game, and this game was from 2001, Clive Barker's Undying, and I got it off of GOG, and I haven't had a chance to play much of it, but even though it worked right out of the box, GOG is great about that with old games, I still went to this website that I have come to love called WSGF.com, Widescreen Gaming Forum, and this is like the go-to site for any old game. It gives you detailed instructions on how to get widescreen on these, because a lot of these games, they run at like 1024, 768, maybe maximum like 1600 by 1200. They don't have any widescreen didn't exist back then. And so I just pulled up this page right here so you can see, but this is the page for Clive Barker's Undying. And I got to tell you, it looks fantastic. As good as a game from 2001 can look, this game does look amazing. And what they've done here is what I have to do for Dark Forces Jedi Knight. I have to use the DG Voodoo 2.5 wrapper, which fools the game into thinking that you're using a Voodoo card. You remember those from back in the 90s? Yeah. It fools the game into thinking that you're using a Voodoo card. And then you can assign various.
Do I remember, Bobby? Having a Voodoo 3 was one of the greatest accomplishments.
Nobody had video cards back then. Yeah. Like, it was not coming.
I don't know what the Voodoo is.
Yeah.
The Voodoo cards? Yeah, they were like graphics cards in the 90s. Before graphics cards were like even a thing. Yeah. Like, nobody had them.
Every time I hear Voodoo, I just hear Dead Island. Who do you Voodoo, bitch?
I've told this story before, but this is exactly how it went down. So I saw people playing Tribes, where I used to play Magic the Gathering, and then I saw people playing EverQuest, and I was like, I need this in my life. So I called Gateway Computers, because they were the big ones back then, before Dell, and I was like, hey, I need a gaming computer. And they're like, oh yeah, we can have, they didn't sell gaming computers. Like, he's a salesman, right? He's like, sure, we'll help you out right there. I paid like $2,400 for my computer, my gaming computer, which had a lot of RAM for the time. And it was like, whatever it was and everything. But anyway,
512 megs.
Yeah. So $2,400, broke the bank on it.
How old were you?
18 maybe. So 18. That would be, so oh my God, 22 years ago.
But when, so that was the first gaming computer you bought, but when was the first time you built your own computer?
Bobby's built every computer that I've ever
built. Oh, so not until like a recent?
Yeah, I think Chad, maybe me and Chad built one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so much later in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I always bought the pre-built. I'm not one for hardware if you don't listen to the podcast.
I think most people start out like that. Nobody starts out PC gaming on a PC gaming computer. They usually, you know, like Loop was just telling us, he started on a laptop. And you know, I had a similar experience. I bought an old computer off of a friend, and whatever computer my parents had, I would play on that. And of course, the graphics, I had to set them all the way to low, and they wouldn't run very well depending on the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we all started gaming on computers that were not meant for it. But for most people, that's why they learn or how they learn to build computers and how they learned about a lot of the technical stuff is just trying to figure out how to be able to run bigger and better games on it. Yeah.
So as I'm trying to pay off this $2,400 computer, I then realize from talking to my friends that I have to buy a Voodoo 3, which at the time, I don't know, Bobby, can we find the prices? Like, I feel
they were expensive. They were expensive. Hundreds of dollars. Like, yeah. They were about the same price as graphics cards today. Yeah. They were like $500 to $1,000.
Yeah. Back when $1,000 was $1,000.
Back in the 90s. Yeah. All right.
I was talking to Sam about this. I feel like $1,000 is the new $100. Like, this is just how it is.
Well, if somebody gives me $100, put everything on credit, yeah, and it's that's how it goes. Well, Lib, when did you really ever build your first PC, or would you say you were officially a PC gamer?
Honestly, like when I first started playing CES, because up until that point, I never played. Like,
I can't believe you were on a touchpad, dude.
Like, I played on a touchpad for 6 months. And
I used to play with the arrow keys. I didn't use a mouse until like a year or two.
Yeah, I played arrow keys and touchpad.
Oh my gosh.
And eventually I actually became fucking nuts. Like, I would headshot everyone with a touchpad. And that would
maybe that's what I need to do. I need to demote my gaming ability to touchpad just to work in the skills and then give myself a mouse and I'll magically be that much better.
Yeah.
Bobby, no, we got kidding. The episode name. It's Headshot with the Touchpad. I like that.
Touch.
Yeah.
No, but when did you convert from touchpad to legitimate PC rig?
It's actually a story. I don't know. I mean,
we love stories.
Yeah, it's a story. So I got back from Australia, got back to San Diego, and actually our house got robbed while I was away, and Dee fucked up my PC. Interestingly, they left the PC there. It was like broken.
I don't think people who break into houses really know the value of computers.
Not just that, but they were probably just they fucked up everything, right?
Yeah.
They're vandalizing like dickheads. Yeah.
And then what happened was I got a laptop, but it was just broke. So what I did actually was I swear to God, I was 13 and I saved up $200. To buy I should have saved up more money, but I bought a desktop off of Amazon that let me play CS 1.6. But it was actually a downgrade because on the laptop I was able to play CSGO, which had just came out at the time.
Right.
But me being the impatient 12-year-old that I am, I saved up $200. I swear to God, by doing surveys online. Need like 50 cents,
$1. Hey, you know what? My big brother still does that.
Yeah.
That's
it was
amazing.
It was a grind.
What a grind.
I got the PC. It was imagine, 2012. I had a Dell OptiClex GX 5220.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. Like, if you have CS 1.6 and, like, Google Chrome open, for example, like, Chrome would take, like, 3 minutes to load. And
Respectfully, though, because 1.6 was definitely, like, I never touched CS Source. I did a little bit just to realize I didn't like it or I hated it, and stayed with 1.6 through and through.
Yeah, until a lot of people skip off Source
until CS:GO finally.
You skipped Source completely.
More or less, yeah. Wow. I just continued to ride the 1.6 train until CS:GO caught one with me again.
How much did you play 1.6?
Oh, too much, darling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I started, and I have one of my Steam account is over 15 years old. So when I was 11, probably, like, but like, yeah, when I was 11 in 2001 or something. So
she's more of a CS player than I am.
I suck. So you have a lot to teach me in what you know with in CSGO.
Bobby, you got it running full screen on your computer.
I did, and it looks incredible, even better than it did. And I want to throw this site out there because I brought it up before, but I haven't properly promoted it. And if anyone out there plays old games like I do, this site is a must-have. Even Dread vs. Death, when I was playing that game, I went to this website, and somebody had made a custom executable file that brings up a little panel that lets you adjust settings that allows you to widescreen that game.
This is good for me because
these are all mods,
I run into this problem a lot.
Yeah, and they do have, if you look at the site, they have screenshots, they have detailed directions on how you do this, but they also have compatibility, like, okay, is this for like a 16:9? Is this for ultra wide? Like, any bit of information you need to know is
right
here.
Can you see if it does Final Fantasy? Because that's what I've been playing, Final Fantasy 9, and I been wanting to stretch out the screen, but it has those weird side panels.
Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, can you search it, Bobby?
Yeah, let me
loop. In case you're wondering what's going on right now, Bobby likes to play really old games.
No, I know. I use this website for Vice City, GTA Vice City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, awesome.
What do I even?
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'll look into it later.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on there. All right. Let's talk about ESO next. What's up with that?
So I dropped the $40 for Elsewhere. I wasn't sure I was going to do it. Then I started playing. I jumped into ESO late last night. Like, I've been so busy. I haven't played anything. I maybe got 3 hours of this in. I can't say too much about the expansion, but it looks just like the other game. Beautiful, really good graphics. It's funny because every once in a while, like, it looks awesome. And then other textures, you're like, why didn't they drop the ball here? It seems like the Farware shit looks awesome. Like, all the landscapes look awesome. But if you look like at a pile of crates, it's like just a pile of crates. I don't know. That's a shitty pile of crates.
You know, so, you got to appeal to the lowest common denominator.
It's true.
So this is the newest expansion for ESO.
Yeah.
So, and what was added to it? Any new classes? Any new races?
So you're in Elsewhere, which is where the cat people come from.
Okay.
And you get that right off the bat. I did the tutorial in Elsewhere. And, you know, you get a little bit more with their backstory. They're probably one of the more interesting races.
This is the Khajiit?
The Khajiit, yeah. Mm-hmm. The way that they speak and the way that they are, they're like, I guess, kind of like Buddhists. You know, they're all into the martial arts, healing, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Like the pandas and WoW kind of thing.
Yeah,
going
something
on.
Like that. Yeah. Kind of like.
Wait, what's this game called?
This is Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. MMO.
So if you know nothing about this game, it's basically like Skyrim Online because it controls exactly alike. The HUD works very similar. So if you. And another thing
can
about
you
this,
steal the clothes straight off of someone's body, just like in Skyrim?
No, some of the NPCs, most of the NPCs you can't even interact with.
Is it the same map?
No, it's a different land. A different map, okay. So now I think this is the first time that Elsewhere itself has ever been fleshed out as a place, because Elsewhere is a, you know, like a continent, I guess. I don't know. I don't know the greater scheme of things. Hmm. So Skyrim was in Skyrim, right? Which is way in the north. Elsewhere is, I don't know, south or something, because it's really hot. Anyway, I'm sounding like an idiot because I don't know much about this. The new class is necromancers.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's basically what made me spend $40.
Yeah, that's your favorite class.
I didn't think that Khajiit would be the proprietors of necromancers. I think they kind of.
I think they kind of shoehorned it in there.
With my lore here. No,
it's like, here's Elsewhere, and also, by the way, this other stuff happened. This necromancer stuff happened at the same time. But I think it happened all over the land. And the main thing is dragons, too. So the Khajiit are being attacked by fleets. No, what do they call it? Rage. Rages of dragons. That's what you call a group of dragons.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Is that the actual term for a group of dragons?
I always heard the flight of dragons. I totally get it. A flight of dragons, but they, you know.
Dragon rages? Oh, yeah. My gosh. So cool. See, I was born Year of the Dragon, and whenever my siblings and I, like, joke about me raging, they're like, oh, my God, she's a real dragon. Yeah. Oh, she's dragon mode right now.
I would concur. I've seen your nostrils flare.
Yeah, I know, right? Breathing fire here.
Like I said, they didn't up the graphics at all. And that's okay because it's a really, really pretty MMO.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah, I only played it for 3 hours, so I can't say too much. Hopefully it grabs me and I play more next week. Now, I've already put three games on my plate. There's no way all three are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Really, what you can judge how a good a game is or how enthralling it is what I end up playing next week. It has a lot to say about that. Maybe if I only have 10 minutes to play, what am I going to play? I'm going to play Shank because it's, you know, something you can pick up real quick. Anyway, I'm liking it so far. The story actually seems pretty good. I'm into the story. It's good storytelling. It's very easy. I mean, intuitive as fuck as far as like how you do things. Mm-hmm. If you ever played Skyrim, you don't even have to. If you've played a video game, you can pretty much play this. Mm-hmm. It's very intuitive. So more on this later on.
And that's true, actually. I have a coworker who has never done online gaming whatsoever, but she's a huge fantasy fan.
Oh, okay.
And loves particular fantasy lore. And she told me that she was getting back into gaming with Elder Scrolls Online. Mm-hmm. And this is someone who's never shot a fucking fireball or picked up a controller or played any game once outside of who knows what, maybe Tetris.
And she's
Candy Crush.
Candy Crush, right? And she's transitioning into it really well and enjoying it a lot. So I don't ever really recommend MMOs anymore, but you know, ESO, from what I hear, it's worth the time you put into it.
Yeah. It's definitely not a bad game.
I think the game would do better too if it could separate itself from that MMO tag as well, because it's, if you market it as Skyrim online with other players, I think that sounds a lot better than an MMO, at least to me.
Yeah, and not just that, dude. When you're playing this, it doesn't feel like an MMO traditionally. It feels like you're playing Skyrim. It feels like you're playing a single player adventure. And yeah, sure, other people are running around, but it's not a huge thing until you start doing dungeons and stuff like that. And if you get in trouble, it's cool. People just jump in and start helping. It's cool.
Could that be because there's not that much interaction between players, like at the start?
Yeah, at the start, everybody's just running around trying to get their quests done, right? Everybody's trying to do the same quest. Maybe later on when you do the dungeons and the raids, then of course you have to interact with them.
Right.
But I like this feel. Personally, for me, I like the feel of the single player. Like, it's just a cool angle to go at, you know?
You know what I miss about MMOs? The competition for the, the elite monsters.
That
because how you
sometimes.
Like the hogger spawn. Yeah. Everybody was just like in queue waiting to grab hogger so they could do it for the quest. Mm-hmm. I will never forget my hogger moments, man. Like,
thank God they do it by instance now. I mean, like, sure, it was nice because it made you feel like, oh, I got it, you know? And there's none of that now because everybody gets their own instance. But I don't know. It's definitely better now. But yes, those...
I kind of miss those instances.
Yeah, it felt special at the time. Yeah, for sure.
Or in Final Fantasy, waiting 2 hours for a spawn just to lose it to
somebody. And we're
going to
know more when fucking WoW Classic comes out.
Oh,
and people are pissed about like sitting around for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great experiment. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm actually really excited to see.
And in fact, that I saw an article about this, but I didn't read it. But the headline was enough that Twitch didn't exist with the original WoW when that released in 2004. So it's going to be a whole different landscape. It's going to be so different, and that alone is just going to change it. All right. Next up. So I've been watching every week. I've been watching something new, video game related media, be it movies or TV. This week, somebody suggested a TV show. The Mayo messaged me on Discord. I was just going to say, fuck it, I'll watch Doom again. And that was going to be my movie this week. But Mayo hit me with this and I was like, oh, man, anime. I don't know if I can do it, dude. But after about 3 episodes, I was able to get into it. This is a Netflix show called High Score Girl, and it is 15 episodes long, 20 minutes a piece. So
20 minutes is so digestible, dude.
Yeah.
And it makes you go like, I could do another. Because it's only 20 minutes.
You can binge it pretty easily.
Yeah.
But there are 15 episodes, so it'll take you a little bit of time to get through this. And when it comes to TV shows, you've got to give it 3 episodes at least. Like, you can't judge it until you're through 3 episodes.
That's a tall order when you're talking about hour-long episodes, though.
So, yeah, I know. It's a little different there.
But I do
still
agree.
Yeah.
Chernobyl got me on fucking episode one. Have you heard people talking about Chernobyl?
I've heard about that. Yeah, it seems to be pretty popular. But yeah, so this is called High Score Girl, and this is about... this is set in Japan, 1991. It's about a young boy who is addicted to video games, and he runs into a girl at the arcade who is also very good, and she beats him, and he's very upset about it. She's very good at school. She's from a very rich family. She escapes to the arcade to blow off steam. She doesn't talk, and he has this relationship with her where he keeps trying to best her, and the show goes about 6 or 7 years, goes about till 97. And, you know, it's them being addicted to video games and then developing kind of a romantic interest. Other stuff happens too. But this also, the big catch here, or the big appealing thing to me at least, is it chronicles arcades, consoles, video games from 91 to 97. And let me play the trailer here.
I mean, that's a big thing in Japan, right? So
yeah, and it's set in Japan where that stuff was just going crazy, especially the arcades. And not only do they show, it's not like they use the likeness of these games, like Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat and Splatterhouse. They actually use these games. Like, it's in the credits. They've licensed them. So you see the screen and, you know, Virtua Fighter, I totally forgot that the ninja guy who I used to always play, he says Namu after every victory. I'm like, oh my god, dude, total flashback. And like, you see it happening right before your very eyes, like just like it would be on the screen. And they go through all the games, man. King of Fighters, all the iterations of Street Fighter. Street Fighter is like the big one in this.
This is so cute. I love
Guile
it.
Is his main character. She always plays Zangief. She always plays like the big throw characters. And they will stop an episode and explain things. Like, he's like, okay, the only way I could beat her is Guile Turtling. And then it stops the show and it's like, Guile Turtling is when you hold down right and then you can either throw a sonic boom or a flash kick if they jump at you.
It's fucking awesome.
It's really good.
So cute.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that part. But the anime thing, like, I did get over it, but it being exposed to this much anime really helped me to, like, you know, analyze what is it about anime that I don't like.
Yeah, well, I was about to ask you, man. Like, it's just a form for telling stories.
It is, but it's different. And I think there's kind of a cultural thing, and it's like, you know, I'm not going to say like it's bad or anything. It's totally a preferential thing. But I think from my perspective, there's a lot less animation in anime. I think they animated it originally. They did it at like, what, 8 or 12 frames a second. But, you know, the characters don't move much and then they like become explosive and there's like this cacophony of lights or something. And when they go like supernova or something like in Dragon Ball Z, but there's a lot of dialogue and they always talk about not even just dialogue, but like interior monologue, like the character just explains everything that you're supposed to infer from the visuals. You know, I'd be like, I'm upset. You have upset me. I'm going to attack you with my superpower strength.
Right, yeah,
it's like, okay, dude.
I do understand where you're coming from. And it's the same pattern that you see almost across most like anime shows. Mm-hmm. And it's
well, I had a theory and I'm pretty sure it's gotta be it. It's cost so much money to draw all those other panels.
It's labor intensive. And yeah, Disney really broke intensive. The barriers.
So you're way better off
make it
talking.
Cheaper. Yeah,
just exactly. Their mouth are moving. Yeah. A lot of the times, there's like, especially back in the day, nothing. It was almost a still frame except for their mouth, which their mouth is moving, and then so that costs nothing. Yeah. They just
very cheap, easy,
very cheap and easy.
You can reuse.
So you go along on the dialogue. You explain what you're going to do. That dude, that's when there was a specific Dragon Ball Z where there was a big fight coming up. It was like, I don't know. It was one of the first seasons. And there was a big fight coming up between the two. It was like Gokan versus, I don't know, somebody.
Goku and Piccolo or Goku and Vegeta?
Because
season one is Vegeta.
Yeah.
How do you forget these names?
I don't know, because I keep watching. Because, and this is why... There was an episode where all they did was talk about what they were going to do. The entire episode was talking about the fight that was... They were circling each other for 30 minutes.
It's called build-up. It's foreplay.
Fuck that.
Okay, speaking of TV shows...
That's why when I was younger, I never got...
Yeah.
Speaking of...
So, Bobby, I guess
Avatar. I like
some of
them. I like Avatar a bit.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of video game shows... Netflix finally released its newest season of Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And the first episode, it's called Striking Vipers.
Second, I thought, right? With the two black guys?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Oh, okay. My bad.
So Striking Vipers. If you guys are big Black Mirror fans, go ahead and double check Netflix again. I only watched the first episode, but it was good. I was impressed. I really liked everything about this episode. It was fun. And it was oddly relatable. Just kidding, but relatable. I actually it was weird, but I loved it. Of course it was weird.
I haven't seen any Black Mirror.
Dude.
I don't know. Just haven't.
Do not watch Black Mirror episode one, season one. Please do not do that.
It is so,
spare yourself.
It can throw you off, but you don't have to watch them in order.
Yeah.
You can watch
okay, it's not chronicle. Oh, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess to wrap it up on High Score Girl, I would definitely recommend this. Actually, if I can get past the anime part, like if I can enjoy this if I can enjoy any anime, then it is like something you should definitely check out. Mm. You know, if I'm recommending anime, then it's got to be good. But I guess there's kind of a stipulation here. So if you are maybe in your 30s, if you're around my age, then yeah, check it out, because these games that they talk about, Street Fighter 2, this was my childhood. I might be the same age as the main character in this, because I mean, Street Fighter 2, I played so much of, you know, all the fighting games that they talked about in this, all the other games that they talked about, like the joy of going to an arcade, like all that stuff. Like I was there, I lived it. So, you know, to me, it's kind of special. I don't know. Do they even do arcades now? We have the arcade bars out here in California, yeah. But that's about it.
We have Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever Lips date a gamer girl, Bobby?
Yeah, it didn't work out well.
Really? Are we talking? Okay, it's so funny. Are we talking WoW days? Like, what type of gamer girl?
No,
was she?
I wasn't playing WoW. No, she was a console gamer, and it didn't.
It wasn't PC dating. Elitist.
It wasn't like official boyfriend, girlfriend type thing. You know, it was kind of nebulous there.
Gamer friends with benefits.
Yeah, I didn't want to get locked down. I didn't like attaching titles to it. You know, it's not good.
What does she play? What does she play though?
She played Left 4 Dead.
Why wouldn't she play that on PC?
She didn't have a PC. I actually gave her one at one point, but I don't think she
used it. You gave her a computer?
I sold it to her.
I didn't know you could play Left 4 Dead on console.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, you can. Yeah. Okay. It was on Xbox.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But and the reason that that relationship didn't work out, I don't think had anything to do with games. Just you know, personality differences. But
gaming,
yeah, I don't know. This the whole thing here too, like the whole like gamer girl thing. I think that's a little more common in Japan because the arcades were huge in the 90s in Japan. Like they were kind of big out here.
I used to skip school to go to the arcade. I'm talking elementary school.
There used to be Street Fighter in the 7-Eleven across the street from my elementary school.
No way, yeah.
And we would go there and play it after school. It was Turbo.
There was a laundromat that had a mini arcade, and I would always like it was just a couple of. It was a half a block away from me, so that was like my arcade in the backyard. And then I was such a good student when I was much younger too. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, "Mom, Dad, will you drop me off at the library? I want to go reading." And then in Minnesota, you would have skywalks because it's so cold there. All the buildings are interconnected, and I would just take the skywalk from the library and go to the Aladdin's Arcade. That's what it was called. Aladdin's Castle back in the day. That's what it was called. Mm-hmm. And my big brother and I would play in the arcade the whole entire time. My parents thought we were in the library, and we just walk back to the library and get picked up. Yeah. So,
You know, and my parents, we used to go on vacation to Vegas every year when I was young. And then when I got older, I'd go with my friends every year. I've been to Vegas so many times, man. I've done the Vegas thing who knows how many times. But when I was young, I always remember Vegas had the most up-to-date arcade machines. Yeah. I remember seeing like anything new that was just like cutting edge, even if it wasn't going to catch and everyone else was, you know, you'd see it in your local arcades. Like they had it at Vegas. And I love that. Like I remember playing so many new games. Circus was like the big one. They had all the games there.
San Jose was really, I feel like ahead of its time too, as far as I got lucky. So we had all the, not only did we have all the Street Fighters, like right when they landed, but also we would have the bootleg ones where like the hyper fighting before hyper fight. Did you guys know about this? When like somebody made a chip and started to alter the video game of Street Fighter and make it kind of like hyper fighting before it was actually released.
Oh, so they just sped up the gameplay? Okay.
Not just that, but like crazy shit where like Zangief's would fall through the ground 15 times before actually landing.
Like ultimate modding and
yeah,
and
like whatnot. Modding.
That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. And then
that's
like
awesome.
Blanca, when he bits you,
classic
he
modding.
Would turn into Ryu doing uppercuts and then bite you. Ryu uppercut.
I wish I had the chance to experience that.
I have
that,
no idea
no.
how to say the
so,
words.
So, Loop, you're much younger than all of us. Yeah. Or is arcade? Does that mean anything to you? I mean, I know you've probably been to.
Have you ever
Lance
been
Centers.
In an arcade at 19?
The Chuck E. Cheese count.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah,
okay.
Oh, but you know what, though? Dude, I went to Dave & Buster's recently. I talked about it 2 months ago. Mm. It's people don't make arcade games anymore. Yeah. So all the games are giant phone games.
That's yeah, yeah. There's like Fruit Ninja. They have like the motorcycle riding game. Yeah, yeah.
I like those games. I enjoy playing them. I used to get to high school and all. I was so used to playing them on the phone.
I was upset that there wasn't at least one Street Fighter there. Like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. Give me one Street
Fighter. Dave & Buster's?
Yeah, Dave & Buster's. Okay. Not one, dude.
You know, like Brawler beat 'em up games. None of that. Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, or The Simpsons. None of that.
I would always judge my arcades by whether or not they had House of the Dead or Time Crisis.
Yeah,
if they didn't if they didn't have either one of those, I'd be like, nope. Yeah.
Those are still around. There's those ones, but there's modern versions. Like the gun stuff has hung around.
No, it has. Motorcycle Time gun. Crisis.
It's I was more of a Virtua Cop guy, but Lucky and Wild, Area 51. Those were some good ones.
Mm. Yeah. Motion capture.
I feel like Time Crisis was the one, especially with the pedal.
The pedal
that made it like next level arcade shooter.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm surprised.
You know what that means? Like, so you would hit the pedal to go into cover, and then you would let go to come out. Right?
Have you ever played a shooter
arcade
game?
The other way around.
Game?
I played one that was kind of like VR. Like, you put like a VR game.
No, man. No. We're talking about you hold a gun.
And you hold the plastic gun.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
We're only making fun because you're 19, dude.
I know.
And we're not saying, dude, they weren't good.
Area
51.
Well, for that time, you were good, though.
Sure.
Area 51 was okay. Virtua Cop, okay. Time Crisis, okay. But those ones where the gun was, like, attached to the thing, like the Terminator one, and then the one where you had to, like, shoot up an Aerosmith concert or something. Mm. You know what I'm talking about.
Wow, that sounds horrible.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, are you guys into, like, racing arcade games at all?
Well, the big one, the number one game I would say at Dave & Buster's was a Mario Kart where you sit down in a cart.
Yeah,
and
I
like play with like eight other people.
Oh, really?
And that was like, it took up most of the space and it looked fucking dope, but there was a line, so I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah.
I was teaching Mila how to cheat at the ticket dispensing games.
Nice.
By the way, she pulled the trigger once and got the, you know, most of the things are like 5-10 tickets. Mm-hmm. She got the 500 on the first pull. I was like,
Nice.
And arcades, there's a lost etiquette in it too, with the whole coin thing and just like playing shoulder to shoulder with your opponent. I remember playing Pit Fighter and some kid, like I beat him at it and he got so mad. And there's a guy in this show, High Score Girl, that gets mad every time he loses. And I'm like, oh my God, flashback. I can't believe no one's ever heard of this show. Like, this is the first time I've ever heard of it. I've never seen any advertisement for it, but yeah, check it out. High Score Girl. I know a bunch of you like anime too. So
straight to Netflix.
Adam, here's a little thing for you. So you're playing Street Fighter, right? Or you want to play Street Fighter. Mm. You would go up while two people are playing and you put your quarter on the plastic above the controllers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's basically saying that you're next in line.
Your place in line.
And then other people could put their quarters and that the line would form and then that would be your next up. And the better you are, the more you could play because
you don't get kicked off.
Well, why would you put the quarter, though?
Like, you're basically
like
holding your place in line.
I see.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm up next. Okay. I'm up next. And if somebody cut the line, then there'd be fucking problems, bro.
Yeah.
There'd be fucking problems.
And no one would take the quarter?
No, nobody would take it because you're there. You're standing right?
Yeah, you're watching them, too.
But
I'll
tell you what. This is what got me. Like, this was, like, talk about jealousy factor, dude. It would be this. It would be the fucking dude that's better at me at Street Fighter with a hot Asian girlfriend sitting on a stool next to him and posted up.
Girlfriend or sister or cousin?
No, like, definitely, like, rubbing his arms and stuff.
Okay.
And like,
perfect brother-sister relationship.
And, like, and he, his girl has a stool because he knows he's not going to lose. That's how good he is. The girl's fucking hot, and we're cycling in and out trying to beat him. That wasn't once, dude. That was San Jose, California. Yeah.
I would say I did date an amazing Super Smash Bros. Player. But
that's only, like, house games, right?
Hmm? Yeah. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, but still.
But
the arcade, there was something so public about the arcade.
Yeah.
Like it was, I don't know, when you're a kid, and I experienced this a lot because I work with kids in a middle school environment. Like when they go to school, that is their social environment. That is them hanging out with their friends and being at work and like living their lives. And you know, when they're home, they have no freedom. So like when you were at the arcade, it's like you almost feel like you're a little adult. You know, when you're a little kid in the arcade, you're just like, I'm on my own. You know,
There's
this freedom and this excitement
money,
to it.
Take my money.
So yeah, I miss that. I want to go to an arcade.
I mean, baby casinos, you know.
No, I think nowadays there's less like dedicated arcades and more businesses and restaurants that have like arcade machines set up.
Yeah, and not even that. That's dying even.
Oh, like, really?
Even pizza places.
Well, though, what about the bars? Like we have Coin House.
Yeah,
out
so
here,
now, yeah, that's up. Coming back. So they, there's like those bars and breweries that have, that are intentionally video game places, arcades. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have the old ones too. Usually they're beat to shit.
Yeah, they're beat to shit, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm. But by the way, I hold court on Street Fighter there. Usually. Did you go with me, Bobby, one time?
We went once.
Yeah.
I don't know if we played Street Fighter.
Did I hold court? No. I usually do.
I don't know.
Because everybody's drunk and
I don't know. What do you play? You play Blanca, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Who won the night we went with Clown Lotion?
Got a Blanca man over here.
Yeah. Remember, it was you, me, Clown Lotion.
Oh, see, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah. Who won the most?
I mean,
I didn't really compete.
It wasn't even close.
It wasn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Did we want to talk a little bit about CSGO, or did we already talk about that?
I feel like we did.
I feel like it's been coming in and out of the conversation. So I guess we'll talk about the homework. So to fill you in, Loop, every week we assign a game for someone else to play. Mm. So like something that they wouldn't ordinarily play. And this happened to be my week, and the game was Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
That's actually a good choice.
Yeah.
So you played it.
Well, I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game. Oh, okay. So, yeah. What's your history with Metal Gear Solid? I mean, that's a huge franchise. Have you played one of those games?
Nope,
never touched them. Okay.
Well see, here's the thing. When it comes to the Counter-Strike players, there's very little else that would ever distract you.
This is like a console game too. I consider Metal Gear Solid like a console game, even though it's available on PC now for the most part.
But yeah.
The diehard fans, like, they all played this since like what, the PlayStation days or something.
Yeah. Well, no, NES. I mean, if you go back that far.
Oh, really?
It
goes back that deep.
Yeah.
I didn't know it went back that far. Yep. I remember everyone losing their shit over 4, I think it was. So Metal Gear Solid 5 : Ground Zeroes. This is like a prelude to Phantom Pain, I believe. It's weird. It's almost like an episodic. So there's a lot of like scrolling text at the beginning, trying to give you an idea of what's going on. And then there's a really long cutscene at the beginning as well. But still, I was totally lost. I felt like they just kind of threw me into it. And I'm okay with that. I'm not going to like ding the game for that. Mm-hmm. But I have no history with Metal Gear Solid. So it
wouldn't mind if Metal Gear gave me a solid. Just saying. I like the way he like comes up from behind and manhandles.
You know,
everyone.
Him and Geralt are basically the same dude. It's just one.
More or less. I can totally see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this game is only about an hour and a half long. So to meet the 3 hours, I played it twice. I played it once on normal.
What the fuck? You didn't go to Phantom Pain?
No. Because I played it on normal, and I was like, this is not how you're supposed to play this game. I went through, like I went in loud. You know, I went in just shooting everybody up, bang, 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 just, like, racing for the different areas. And I know a little bit. I know enough to know that's not how you're supposed to play these games. So when I beat it, I switched it on. I unlocked the hard mode. I switched it on hard. Then I'm like, all right, let's do this for real. And it was way more enjoyable playing it like that. I totally see what everyone likes about this. Like, it's great stealth. It has the problem that every stealth game does. Like, there's just waiting. Sometimes you just got to wait for an AI to path somewhere.
Right.
But the stealth is great. It gives you that moment, like, when you're discovered to, like, do something about it. Like, you can hit him with a stun gun.
The exclamation mark, right?
Yeah, like the silencer and take them out. And, you know, there's a little bit of forgiveness there. But it took me a while to get through that second playthrough on hard. A very short mission. My biggest complaint about this, and I think this is something to do, I think all the Metal Gear Solid games do this, the cutscenes, man, whoa, they are long. And the camera is just all over the place. Like, what's going on with that, dude? Because at first I was like, okay, this is like a POV shot. All right, little head bob there, whatever. And then it kept going. I'm like, this isn't an action scene. Usually in cinema, like, the language of film is like, if you have shaky cam, something crazy is going on mm-hmm. screen, or it's a POV shot. But this just kept going like,
and you can't skip it, right?
Oh, you can skip it, but I wanted to like get the whole experience. But it was just like finding focus, moving the camera left and right. I'm like, these people are just talking. Why is this happening? This is so weird. Is this a Japanese
you know what?
Thing?
What's it's a Metal Gear thing, because with the first Metal Gear Solid, it was all a lot of radio comms and just reading out these conversations. And it's just two faces, just, you know, the whole anime effect. Only their mouths are moving, and you see their conversation unfold at the bottom. And this one here, I think it's the same thing where it's like you want to hear the whole conversation unfold, but they're trying to give it more of a visual appeal now that they're able to, whereas previously before it was just
I felt like I was watching I Am Sam. It was just it was brutal.
They chose form over function, I think, on this one.
Well, I think they made a stylistic choice at one point, because I think I remember seeing videos of cutscenes from Phantom Pain, same thing. So I just figured, oh, this is a Metal Gear Solid thing. The Japanese, you know, they're like the French of the East. They're a little weird, but, you know, whatever. I'm along for the ride.
Bobby, this is the first time that I'm going to...
Who's more offended, the Japanese or the French, with that comment?
Bobby, I'm going to grade you on your homework, and I'm going to give you an F, because the game was...
the game gave me a D, but...
Oh, what?
On the second
right, sign play. Me up.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Japanese games, I think S is the highest you can get.
S rank is the top. Plus. So I played it on normal, got a C, and then when I did it again, I was like, I'm not going to break stealth at all. So if I messed up, I just restarted. Apparently that dings your score pretty hard, so that's why I got the D.
Restarting?
Bobby, you should have played Phantom Menace. This game was only a filler game in between the two
episodes. Here's the biggest problem with that, too.
Warconius was furious. He wrote a fucking diatribe over why, he goes, he started off with, let me explain why Ray is not a true Metal Gear Solid fan, and then continue to explain why you shouldn't have played this one. I mean, just by the looks of it, dude, Phantom Pain looks so much better than this.
Yeah, I can see that. But I think the key difference here is that you're only playing the mission. So in Phantom Pain, you play the mission depending on how well you do. There's some metagame of you gathering resources or getting points, and you get to spend that into upgrades. None of that in this game. So I felt like I was only getting part of the game and not really getting what makes Metal Gear Solid
That's
so
why
great.
You're getting an F.
No, I understand that playing this game. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to just, play it to completion, because how far would I 3 hours into Phantom Pain, I'd gotten through a cutscene. How far would I have gotten in there?
That's true.
But no, I am interested in
it. I want to redo, but that's up to you.
Oh, maybe five next time. Yeah. Or Phantom Pain.
Yeah. But.
It's impressive that he did his homework assignment over twice, though.
Yeah.
Am I next?
I think Ray's next.
Oh, who's next? No, it goes from you. Yeah,
it skips Ray. It goes to Ray.
So that's not going to work. So let's go to Chi. That'll work perfect, because way we'll be in row.
Then we can fix the order finally.
Yeah. Loop.
So if you can think of any games you would want to me to experience, homework is the time to do it. So that way I'm forced to play at least 3 hours of it, and then I have to talk about it.
You guys choose what game to do homework for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other people choose it. So the idea is that we're playing games that we wouldn't play on our own.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's a game that you normally would never touch?
Well, side scrollers, for example,
I don't blame you.
For example,
side scrollers.
No Guacamelee.
Yeah, I don't know. Dude,
do you play horror games or anything of that sort?
I mean, I've never have actually, but I actually tweeted out a couple weeks ago, what are some good horror games, and I got some decent recommendations. I honestly don't know how I would react,
I think you'd love Resident Evil 7.
Oh, you think
that's
so?
That's a good place to start, or Outlast.
Is it a true horror game, though?
It does it so well.
Okay.
It really does.
Okay.
Outlast is really good. And
Five Nights at Freddy's.
You are definitely no horror games. You don't like platformers or side scrollers. Bobby, what's your hard no on games usually?
What is it? Anything, I know I got some.
Anything made
controller.
This year?
Anything made this year?
controller games.
Yeah.
Let's give her a roguelike. I don't think she's played any. I don't think she's played any.
Which one? What's the one that we all like? I mean, Binding of Isaac, we could, but
I've
3 hours
that.
Of that.
What about
Rogue Legacy?
Rogue Legacy is good.
That's a good one.
But
there's a newer one you
played. Can't you give me something that,
you don't get what you want, Chi. That's the thing.
Well, give me something I could at least stream.
Well, yeah, it's a good streaming game.
You could stream any of
those. Yeah.
Enter
the Gungeon is too hard. Either Dungreed or... Yeah, Dungreed is good.
Mordhau, Pillars of Eternity.
No.
Path of Exile.
None of those. Ooh, by the way, too bad we didn't put that on the radar. Path of Exile is new. Who knows? You know, they're blowing themselves up, but they're our newest patch.
Can you give me a game that I don't need to use a controller for? Give me a real mouse and keyboard game.
Oh, Legacy.
Yeah, I play Dungreed. I play Dungreed with mouse and keyboard.
It's like a twin stick shooter, right?
Yeah.
Dungreed. So yeah. you don't want to use a controller.
Don't give
me
a controller game, please. No,
I play it with mouse and keyboard.
You guys ever get like a game for homework and you just absolutely fucking hate it?
Yeah. It happened to me last week. I had to play fucking Stardew Valley, dude.
Oh
my God.
That's a good game. Have you ever played
it? You didn't like it?
Oh, I hate it.
Did you play it ever?
No, but I mean, it looks
they good. Like it. Everybody likes it.
Yeah, it looks all right.
There's no 360 headshots in fucking Stardew Valley, dude.
Yeah.
All depends on how you're modding it.
So what are we going? We're going with Dungreed officially.
What's Dungreed?
I mean, I don't want just to throw that out. You okay with it, Bobby?
I don't know what
if
Dungreed
you feel
is.
Confident, you're, I mean, you're the Rogue Legacy. I mean, I'm sorry, the roguelike expert.
Can't you just
here.
Give me like a really old game that's
no,
actually
you can't
still
ask.
Like a shooter?
You have no voice in this conversation.
I'm gonna like raise objections until you guys. You no. Can...
Yep.
No.
3 hours of this, G.
Cool, yeah.
No. Oh hell no.
Yep. Look at how cute.
This oh my God.
Super Mario vibes? I don't know.
No Castlevania vibes. I'm seeing it.
Okay.
I like Castlevania, though.
Do you know what a roguelike is?
I don't want to do this.
Okay, so roguelike is... should I keep going into it? If people know because they listen every week. But it's not like... It doesn't matter what kind of game it is. It could be first person. It could be a spaceship game. Mm. A roguelike basically means you're supposed to die a lot.
Ah, okay.
And... every time you die, you get a little bit stronger. And it's kind of like Souls-like, you know, like a Souls game. Hmm. But anyway, I love them. This is my favorite genre, probably.
So, like, are you supposed to die?
You can't beat... Most of the time...
You play the game as far as you can on one playthrough, and you hope you do really well, okay. And then you eventually die, but then based on how good your run was, you get some sort of money to spend on upgrades, and then your next run's a little bit better, but then you die again, but you buy more upgrades. So usually that's how it works. Usually
and no two games are ever alike, because usually on a good roguelike... the levels are randomly generated. Mm. And
so just think Binding of Isaac.
So it's like RNG.
RNG. Yeah, yeah. 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 Have you ever played Binding of Isaac?
I'm sorry? No.
Do yourself a favor.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Binding of Isaac is one of my favorite games of all time.
It actually is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one feels a little more arcadey, though. I think I would have a tough time doing 3 hours of that. The Dungreed or Rogue Legacy, there's a little bit more of a little more staying power there.
Woo! Why could Rogue you give
me homework,
like
first time.
Legend of Zelda or something.
Nope.
I'm actually quite interested in this Dungreed game. It looks quite
fun. Check it out, man.
I don't know. How much is it? Like, on
don't
Steam?
Lie, Liv. Don't lie.
I really
don't
like.
Suck up to these guys.
We got the Steam summer sale right around the corner, too, okay. So don't get antsy.
Yet. Yeah, yeah.
It's
I'm
cool,
assuming
man.
You have this in your
stay
library.
On target.
Loop. Okay, so Loop, you're this awesome CS player, and right. Then guess you want to know like Bobby's EPN, like what he flashes.
What
his Steam account has over 7,000 games.
Yeah, that's about 7,000.
Yeah,
but I mean, you say 7,000, it's like
it's
games.
Over 7,000 games on his Steam account.
No, I would
so
say his
like,
EPN was he was ranked.
What's your EPN?
Was it 23rd so like, in the world on Steam?
Like, what makes
was
your EPN
Bobby,
big?
The highest
oh,
you ever
God.
Got?
Yeah, no, that's
Amelia. What makes your EPN so like what? Like,
I have a PC gaming podcast.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess that's
actually EPN
at my house.
All right.
That I don't have to, drive to.
So Dungreed or Rogue Legacy. I guess we'll leave it at that. If you play 3 hours of one or one and a half of each or however you want to split it up, we'll give you options there.
Guys, by the way, I want you to know how much this means to me. Sam and I, we can't afford it, but we're kicking around the idea of buying a house. Hmm. And I'm obviously kicking over, we need another room for the podcast. There is no house being bought without a podcast room.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, let's go.
All right, we're on to the news. Time for some news. So there's going to be a lot of news with E3 coming out. The Microsoft conference is happening as we speak right now. We're just going to have to wait until all that stuff is announced and we can process it, and then we'll talk about it next week. But we will bring up some stuff. Again, it's very weird how they're doing E3 this year. It's officially starting on June 11th, but they're already making announcements days before. So I don't really understand it, but we're just going to kind of just talk about whatever we want here, like we
Bobby,
usually do.
I have an audible I want to call, maybe. Should the 3 hours be streamed so that they can be tracked? Because
who? Me?
The 3 hours, not just yours, everybody's. Our homework maybe should be streamed so it can be tracked.
Yeah, we could do that.
Because people,
that's
you
easy.
Know.
That's easy.
Ray even said that he left it on AFK for like an mm-hmm. hour, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We could.
Streaming homework. It's a no, thing
nobody
now.
Watches when I stream, but okay.
That's all right. You'd be surprised.
Maybe I can host you.
There you go.
All right.
Watch all my. Like,
I mean, I thought about this summer.
My video game choice. They're like, "What are you playing?"
Wait till you get the loop bump, dude. Yeah. He's gonna hook you up. We got a lot of names in here. Thanks for hanging out, guys. A lot of new names here from Loops people, which is nice.
Very cool.
My Fruit Loops.
Your Fruit Loops. Well, before we get into the news, let's. So we talked about how Loop is great at Counter-Strike. He is a Twitch streamer and everything else. What, like, that's your EP, right? Your Twitch, right. Your Twitch channel. So tell us a little bit more about like your success on Twitch and how that's really impacted you.
Yeah, absolutely. So like the whole thing kind of originated from kind of like something that happened. So. That caused me to blow up. I was playing a game, and at the beginning of every game, I have like a bind that I put in chat. So obviously, I have some trouble speaking, and that's mostly because of my teeth. So I'm like missing quite a bit of teeth.
Dude, you sound better than Ray. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
His lisp is.
You look better than
yours.
Him too. Yeah.
Can you say Bethesda?
Bethesda.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Better than he does.
Yeah. And yeah, so basically, like when I play online CS, obviously, like there's a lot of communication, right?
Right.
So. I mean, I can communicate, like, people can hear me when I come, but a lot of times people will ask, like, hey, like, what's in your mouth? Like, why do you talk like that? So I just made a bind that I hit every game. I say, hey, guys, I have a slight speech impediment that's caused by cheat and chat problems. Please try to be nice, and that's it. That's the bind.
Every game,
because like some people will call me up, you're like, oh, attention seeker or whatever, but it's not that at all. It's just I got so annoyed of people constantly asking, like, dude, what's wrong with your voice?
And by the way,
yeah.
Counter-Strike people.
Dude, it's age.
That's a tough crowd.
It's like you're a black guy and you went into a KKK meeting. Like, it's like the worst people and you have an impediment. They just need something to attack.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, honestly, like, I wouldn't go that far. I feel like recently, it's been getting better, like, the community as a whole.
Yeah.
It's, a lot of people say League of Legends is more toxic.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Maybe just by sheer numbers.
Yeah.
But the difference between League is if I play League, like, I don't have to use my voice. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm already on a team that knows who I am. But on this one particular instance, I hit my bind, and then, like, my team immediately snaps. Like, all four of my teammates were like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're trolling. We don't believe you. And then he just started calling me names and stuff like that. And, at one point, I did get a little bit emotional, and that's you can go look at the video. It has like millions of views. And the one thing I want to clarify is I didn't necessarily get emotional because of that one instance. Like that shit happens to me all the time.
It's a build up.
It's a build up over time. Like, you know, this is the main game I played.
The camel that broke this camel's back.
Exactly.
The straw that
it was a straw that broke the camel's back because I'm just a dude. I'm just trying to play this game, and then because of like, and I'm literally better. Like, a higher skilled player than all of the people in my game, yet, like, I still have to deal with this shit because of something that I have no control over.
Right.
So it's just, like, I consider myself, like, a strong person because, like, I deal with all of this shit since I was, like, 12.
Yeah.
But on this particular night, I wasn't having a great day, so I got emotional, and get this, we were winning 5 rounds, the other team had 1 round, and then he kicked me for not communicating. He kicked me from the game after
fucking
I stopped communicating. Yeah. And he told me to stop communicating. So, like, how ironic is it? And then, yeah, that got a lot of traction, that whole incident. PC Gamer picked it up to get an article about
it. So, at that point, you felt maybe even compelled to start a Twitch game because you're getting.
Oh, I was streaming the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were streaming at that point
already.
Yeah,
it was on Twitch. Yeah,
okay.
It got posted on Reddit and all that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
But,
and then from there, I imagine you picked up, like, some friends, followers.
Oh, no,
you know,
it exploded. I gained, like, 50K followers on Twitch.
And when was that?
That was in April of 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
So how many followers do you have now since you started on Twitch? When did you first start?
I started in 2015, late 2015. Obviously, like, I didn't take it nowhere as seriously as I do now. Right now, I'm at 210K followers.
That's amazing. And
we have like 50.
We're right behind you.
We're right behind you. We got like 50, 51.
Yeah, but and
not K, 50 or 51.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. It's like, you know, toxicity is anywhere on the internet, and especially in a situation like that, like, you know, to have something, you know, to have the support and to know that, like, even though you're dealing on, you know, probably an everyday basis, the struggle with just, you know, like, yeah, and everything else.
Dude, a lot of people fold and you shined, you know, exactly. Under pressure.
Yeah,
I mean, it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're here, you're talking to us, and everything is fucking awesome.
And, you know, and for any streamer, people, when you put yourself out there, you make yourself completely vulnerable to anything, that because people can hide people hide behind their screen names and everything. They'll do and there are people who just exist on the internet to troll others and stuff like that too. Do you feel like being a Twitch streamer, there's been like, do you mostly get positive interactions, or do you still have to deal with those like everyday nuances?
I mean, it's mostly positive. Obviously, you know, as a quote unquote personality, like I do get a higher amount of people that just like constantly make new accounts and like go in the chat saying really awful shit. But you know, that's just the reality of it, right? Like it's nothing new to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've been on fucking CS for like 7 years now. Yeah. I've heard it also.
Yeah.
It really, like, I guess, like, in your head, you think that you can, like, get under my skin if you do it more and more, but it's just, like, I literally, like, click their name, hit ban, and then just continue playing the game. Like, you're fucking wasting your time. Like, I swear.
You have moderators that take care of
it? I have mods, but I mean, yeah, I have lots of, like, friends and stuff, but, you know, it's not that hard to just manage myself.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Well, it's good you've built up that resilience, and you kind of have to in CS.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That goes for every CS player, too, but, like...
Well, we used to, like, I'm like, gee, being a girl, it's got to be hard, and she's like, yeah, it's hard. I don't know, CS, for me... Maybe because I'm a terrible player. I get it worse than most people. I'm like, oh, my God. Counter-Strike is the worst.
Yeah. I mean, the screen blowing up has helped a lot because a lot of times now when I go into games, people will recognize me. Like, sometimes everyone on my team will know who I am.
Loop?
Yeah. You've been
are there people
games,
that don't believe you, too, because you're on your Smurf or something?
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was unfortunate. I was playing with Chi on my Smurf account.
I do appreciate you playing with me on your Smurf, too, because, like...
Yeah. Like if I queued on my main account, it might be like a more difficult game, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. But the screen has helped because more people know who I am, and there's a less chance of dealing with shit. I still deal with shit. Just yesterday, some kid was talking mad shit about my speech impediment, and you know, you just gotta block them.
Yeah,
but yeah. That's it.
I don't know. That's about it. Yeah. It's over right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just shut them down. Shut them all down.
Yep.
Well, what is your Twitch handle here? So we can include that in the show notes when the episode goes up.
Oh, this is... Okay. Twitch.tv / LO0T with 2 underscores at the end. So it's like a line. Underscores.
2 underscores.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, Everett. Yeah, I invite anyone to check out Loop. He is... Honestly, you're an amazing gamer, but meeting you in person, I'm so glad I really got to meet you in person first before I was kind of heard of you, but I never really like looked into you or read into anything. And in person, you're such an amazing, you're so nice. And like, and honestly, it's like, that's the thing too. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's, when it comes to, it's so much easier for people to be not even like who they are and like, to be mean online, but in person, they're probably the nicest person. And then, like, it's sad that side can come out when...
Yeah, but at that point, I feel like you're kind of a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Yeah, the internet's a terrible place.
If you're going to be an asshole online, like, be an asshole IRL, at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that worked out. You're living in San Diego, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't get many live guests here. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's a lot of gamers here, like, in San Diego. It's just, I don't know, you guys know Nothing from CSGO?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Cloud9 pro player.
He lives from San Diego. Freakazoid, another pro CSGO. He's from Freakazoid?
Freakazoid,
no, I don't
know. Yeah, he's from San Diego as well. You guys know Automatic from Cloud9. Well, at this point, I'm just listing like all the CS. Yeah. But my point is, there's a lot of high level CS players from San Diego. Not saying that
we should talk to those people. What do you guys think?
Right, let's go find them.
But we'll have the TwitchCon house too. Hopefully, you'll join us for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
All right. So let's see. We got some news to talk about, and then some listener questions. First up. Okay, so Google Stadia, there's been more announcements on this. This is something that we've
been... Super excited about this.
I've seen those, yep.
Yeah, so let's see. Okay, so the price, first of all, it's going to be $10 a month. There's going to be a free version, but the subscription is $10 a month. Now, what I didn't realize, and I didn't realize this until I actually sat down and read through the entire article, you are not getting... There's probably going to be some free games included with that, but there, you still have to buy your games.
What?
Yeah, on Stadia.
That's not what I read. You sure? Well, mm-hmm. I'm sure you read it all.
Yeah, you can. You're still going to have to buy. Eventually, I think like the bigger titles will get added to the free version, like the free. Whatever you get for the $10
full price for these games.
Don't know yet, but yeah, it looks like you will have to buy the games.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of a bummer, but you know, okay, I guess I kind of get it.
Honestly, I don't think that's a huge bummer because it's more or less how they're going to make their money. They're already providing, you're saving all that money that you would have spent into a rig and all the frustrations of everything else. Like
I thought we were getting Netflix.
Mind.
That's why.
Yeah. I think that's what everyone thought.
My heart was set on Netflix.
But you'll just have to play for the new stuff. You have to pay for the new stuff. I'm sure they're going to have some free games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be just like Origin.
Yeah.
Wait, so it's like a remote gaming PC?
Exactly what it is. Yeah.
At that point, you kind of have to pay for the games, right? Because $10 a month is just paying for the service. It can't include all of the games
on the
platform.
And the developers.
Look at Netflix. You don't have to pay for brand new movies.
How are the developers going to make their money?
Netflix is just a streaming service.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can do that. This is a remote gaming PC that you can... I don't know how it works. Yeah. I have no idea.
The developers have to make their money somehow, too, by offering their games on Stadia. So
a boy can wish, right? A boy can wish.
So this is the idea of what bandwidth you can expect to use here. So if you're going to get the pro version of this, which is $10 a month, not the free version, the pro version, you can do 5.1 surround, 60 frames a second, and 4K, and that's going to be about 35 megabits per second.
I shit on 35 megabits per second.
That's not much. That's not much at all.
That's average.
I get
a lot of
300 right now.
But what is that for? 35.
That's for being able to play.
That's how much data you're going to use.
I mean, is it good for gaming? Not really.
If you've got a good internet connection, that should be fine. I mean, 35 megabits. I have gigabit. I mean, it's advertised as gigabit. Emilio, I think you have 300 down.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what a lot of people have. If you don't have gigabit, you probably have about 200 or 300 down, at least in San Diego.
I have the
pretty
gaming.
Common. Yeah,
and that's a lot higher than anywhere else in the country because in the Midwest, for instance, super high speed internet is 60 to 80 megabytes per second.
Yeah, a lot of people we talk to around the nation from the podcast are like, "Fuck you." Fuck right off.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, 300 is kind of a recent thing, though, right?
Like 300 is still huge.
Yeah, last 300
a couple years ago, it wasn't as prevalent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting better for sure.
Yeah.
At least over here where it's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest
of
it.
I'm sitting on a gig, too, with Bobby, and it's
you're paying for a gig, too?
Yeah. I'm paying the same price that I did for 600 down.
Through Cox?
No, through AT&T.
So I'm curious, if you can just buy the games and pay $10 a month, would this negate having a gaming PC?
So basically, I'm glad you're here to ask these questions so we can go through it. If you have a screen, this is what they say. If you have a screen and an input device,
that can run Chrome.
It has to be Chrome.
So anything that can run Chrome, and for your TV... You just need a Google Chromecast, the Ultra one.
Chromecast.
Yeah,
$100 maybe.
Well,
60.
No, but if you have
the Ultras, I think they're 60.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a smart TV. Most people have smart TVs.
Mm-hmm.
They have a browser. Mm. What if you go onto Chrome on your browser on your TV? Would that be
I don't know. I doubt it.
You doubt it?
This is for PC gaming, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well,
you can't. Well, you could play on TV, maybe.
Streaming gaming.
Yeah.
Stream gaming.
Mm. So for $130, you can get the controller. The controllers are expensive.
But they don't need a controller. You can play what they say with any input device,
right? The reason for this $130 edition, I think, is for people who are going to play on a TV, because they include the Chromecast Ultra 4K. The Ultra does 4K. I think it retails for about $60. The controller is $70 on its own, but it's included in the $130 thing. They give you 3 free months and also 3 months for a friend. And what else is included? I thought there was something else included, but
so
I mean, it adds up to a pretty good deal. And oh, you get to get your username first, which is really what everyone wants, I feel like.
This could go any which way. It all depends on how good the service is.
Mm-hmm. When it's out in the wild.
There's so many questions, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I was thinking the other day, my casual friends where I usually watch the UFC, mm-hmm. it's a bachelor pad, right? And, you know, they're all kind of
for casuals.
They're all kind of struggling.
This can make everyone a gamer.
They have one Xbox. It hardly gets played. But if they had this service for the house, that means that they could each individually play on their own TV, mm-hmm. as long as they had one of these.
Chromecast. At a time, though, because they said no account sharing, no game sharing. You can do like split screen multiplayer, but that's it.
But still, for a casual house, for casual mm-hmm. players, this is fucking
awesome. This can make everyone a gamer.
Yeah. I mean, being a PC gamer, it's that entry level. That's what kills you. You're not a PC gamer unless you spent $800, which is double a really good mm-hmm. console.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? By the way, just throwing it out there, PS5 has been announced. What do you think their introductory price is going to be? It's got to be
400.
No? I would say 6.
Their last one was 4. I would say 6.
Six.
Like I said, $1,000 is a new $100, I think.
I wonder what's the specs going to be on that. Because that'll be fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a new PlayStation, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to expect. But.
Okay, so this is how scary Stadia is. Stadia is what we're talking about, right? From Google. This is how scary it is. PlayStation and Xbox got together to work on their streaming platform to combat this. That's how big this is. It basically got the Crips and the Bloods to fucking make lemonade to fight fucking Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. Like, it's huge. I'm not saying it's the next big thing. I'm saying if it is the next big thing, it's a game changer.
Do we have like a release date or like a timeline?
What is it, Bobby? Do you know?
Okay, so
Stadia.
If you get the $130 pre-order, then you'll be able to play it by the end of the year. If you don't, then it's going to be 2020. I can't remember what month or when exactly.
But Adam, let me run this by you. What about no cheaters? Zero cheaters.
Yeah. Plus, you don't have to install any games.
No cheaters. Everybody has. They say the same MS, right? And the same ping.
You're capped at 60 frames per second, though.
Same ping. What?
Yeah, like, so they're saying.
Oh, because you're screaming it.
You are capped at 60 frames per second.
But so is your TV. If you're playing video games on a television, you're not getting more than 60 frames a second anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing that confuses me. How would you plug in a controller?
Like, I think it's got to be a Bluetooth controller.
Oh, I see.
So there'll probably be some sort of hub being sold, I'd imagine.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe you plug into your controller into a hub that's Bluetooth compatible with the Chromecast.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
That's interesting.
But, dude, I mean, for competitive gaming, everybody at the same frame rate, same resolution, but same ping.
I would not want to be limited at 60 frames.
Who's really better?
The competitive.
I think Stadia is great for, at least in the very beginning, it'd be great to pull in, like I said, it can make anyone a gamer, you know, and to pull in friends that you would want to potentially play certain games with that they were physically unable to do so before. So I think for a lot of different multiplayer elements, it's going to be great. And, but for competitive gaming, I think it's going to be a slow rollout for people to want to convert, especially for someone like me and Loop, who we need, like, he's not even streaming because his frames, like he said, shoots down to 55, and he's like, fuck that noise, I can't stream, I can't play my games, it's so frustrating. So, like, my enthusiasm for Stadia, it exists, but I'm not overwhelmed. It's not,
yeah,
like,
it's not
like,
for
it's
us.
It's not an, yeah, it's not,
it really isn't,
I don't think
for
it's,
anybody
yeah.
in this room.
I mean, for when I play online, at least, most of the people I play with, there isn't that much of a ping in FPS discrepancy. So realistically,
what about cheating though? That's huge, right? Well, not competitively, I guess.
No. Is it going to be possible to cheat on this?
I don't think so.
It seems like it would be harder.
Yeah, unless you like put turbo.
Actually,
in your
anything
mouse.
Anything is possible with cheating, dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
people will find a way.
People, if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. So the games that they have announced that are going to be working with this Stadia is Doom Eternal. There's a bunch of them. I'll just list the ones that interest me: Doom Eternal, Mortal Kombat 11, Farming Simulator 19, big one. Yeah, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Football Manager 2020, Wolfenstein Youngblood, Destiny 2 was one that they really highlighted there, and Baldur's Gate 3, which was recently announced, being worked on by Larian Studios from the Dividity.
That's what made the name Baldur's Gate. I was like, oh, okay, that's recognizable. Mm. Made by Larian Studios. That's when I was like, oh, this needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For an RPG game or something that doesn't require like really quick, like low latency hand-eye coordination, like, yeah, this would be fantastic.
Have you played, what's your favorite RPG? You must have played something.
Witcher,
Zelda. RPG.
Okay, list some more games.
An RPG. I mean, big ones?
Well, I played
anything Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
No, I mean, I played, like, when I was younger, Adventure Quest, Dragon Fable.
Okay. Yeah. So, the only reason that...
I played Legend of Zelda once. A few times.
More like an action RPG, kind of?
I played MMORPGs, which were, like, a combination.
So, all together, I think we would say our favorite RPG maker is Larian Studios. Mm. And they're making Baldur's Gate, which has a lot of... clout behind the name. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a combination of two really good things.
I see.
And Stadia, I think, is first at bat, right, Bobby? Is it exclusive?
I don't know. I don't know if it's exclusive.
Anyway, when we're talking about Stadia, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about because it's not out. We can't talk. We can't get our hands on it.
We can only speculate.
That's what we do here in the news section.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of speculation.
Literally, the entire podcast is speculation.
Yeah.
I even speculate on the games that I've played because I don't remember, really.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, just like, I kind of feel like it was this way.
Yeah.
I drink too much, dude. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got to go get another drink.
Oh, you're going to miss out on this big news.
No, I'm here.
Tom Holland's Uncharted movie set for December 2020 release. So I don't know Marvel movies, but Tom Holland is Spider-Man? The new Spider-Man?
Fuck you, dude. You really? You haven't seen either one of the Spider-Mans?
No. What do you mean either one? There's like a lot of them.
Okay, so basically you can, between not Tobey Maguire, what's that guy's name? Tobey Maguire. God damn it, what his name is. Anyway, anything between there and now Tom Holland, just forget, because it was Fox Studios. Now that it belongs to Marvel, it's been done right, and he's knocked it out of the goddamn park. And it's really cool too, because he has this like slight New York accent, but then you hear him in interviews and he's a British guy, which always like throws you for a loop. Mm. But by the way, what is he? 22, 23. Look at the crow's feet on this guy.
Yeah. That's,
that's unflattering shot.
But this guy's going to be the main character. Who's the main character in the Uncharted games? Drake, Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess he's going to start doing this. Could be good, man. I don't know. You never know with video game movies. I've been watching a lot of them, and for the most part, they are terrible.
He looks really young for Nathan Drake, but I could see
him pulling it off. Maybe he's a young Nathan Drake. I don't know.
Mm.
Like, they started
out. Maybe it's going to be a franchise.
Yeah.
I think they obviously made this casting decision to kind of maybe attract a certain audience. You got to make him young and handsome. He's like a young
DiCaprio. Obviously. But maybe they're trying to pull in...
Oh, he's a good-looking kid, man. And have you seen the Spider-Mans, G?
Oh, not the new ones, no. Is he?
What world do I live in?
Me either. I should.
What?
I never watched the Spider-Man movie, actually.
Okay. I guess I'm the only one here with herpes, too.
Oh my gosh, is that what's going on?
Is that the world I'm living in?
Yes, okay. You are.
The last Spider-Man movie I saw, Paul Giamatti was a rhinoceros or something. And Jamie Foxx was.
We don't talk about those years.
Okay.
Dude.
Those were the bad ones?
Those were the bad ones.
Yeah, because it was pretty bad.
Basically, anything by Fox was dog shit. Okay. I mean, X-Men.
That new X-Men movie is not doing well.
No, it's not doing well. Although Sunset did pretty well, I read.
Did we talk about Baldur's Gate 3?
We missed that. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Just let me throw that out there. I can't fucking wait. Baldur's Gate was one of my... Larian Studios.
Yes.
Yes, but not only that, Baldur's Gate was one of my very first PC games ever. You know how I remember? Because the box that it came in had fucking 9 discs. And, like, I remember playing that game, putting in a disc, taking it out, putting in the other one. It was just, like, such a massive RPG back then. And I was way too young to be playing Baldur's Gate, but I was playing it, and it was fun. So much fun.
It's a tough one to go back to. Like, as much as everyone liked it back in the day, mm-hmm. I think if you had never played it and you went back to check it out, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
So we're definitely due for a sequel.
Totally. And Larian Studios, dream made. Hello. Oh, I'm so excited. Still got to be Divinity 2. What's next on the...
Okay, so we talked about Jedi, the Fallen Order, but we'll talk about the rest of the things they announced at the EA Play event that they streamed live just a few days ago. Some of these bigger than others. Obviously, Jedi Fallen Order was a big presence there. They did talk about Anthem, but oh my God, dude. It was a little awkward. They talked about Anthem, and they're just like, look, we're still going to work on the game, and like we're learning a lot, and we got some cool stuff coming, and that was it. It was not a whole lot on Anthem.
They should have reenacted the shame scene from Game of Thrones for Anthem, and that should have been it. That should have been their trailer.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I've heard that reference so many times now, the shame scene.
Yeah.
Apex Legends announcements. They got a new character named Watson, and they're bringing back something called the L-Star. Don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
It's a Titan gun.
Okay.
Titanfall gun. And Watson is going to be a character that has like different gadgets or another. I still very much like Apex, but it's been because of the amount of cheaters on there. I don't have as much incentive to play, but I will be checking out the new character.
Is there a big cheating problem with Apex?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty bad. Yeah.
I mean, but the game is still fun, though.
The game's fun, yeah. Have you played Apex?
Oh, no. I played a lot of Apex. I'm actually...
Oh!
Yeah.
We should get an Apex game in, because when I first played it, I think I maxed out my level in the first 2 days.
Yeah, no.
I was addicted to that shit.
I just haven't streamed it in a while, but when it came out, like, the first few weeks, I played a lot.
I think that was before we knew each other,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's
hell
why.
Yeah. We could totally get some Apex games in.
So they're going to buff the Mozambique, too.
Oh, that's a good buff.
Are you serious?
I think that's speculation. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Buff the Mozambique. Yeah, right. Keep it where it is.
FIFA 20 shows off Volta Mode, the spiritual successor to FIFA Street. I know Ray was kind of excited about that. I played a little bit of a FIFA game.
I played a lot of FIFA. Like, I'm a big time FIFA player.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know about the Street version of it? I've never heard of it. The what?
Volta Mode?
Volta?
That's a new thing in FIFA 20.
Yeah, FIFA
it's
Street.
It's based off FIFA Street.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
He said. FIFA Street was like, you can just pull up a video. It was like a street soccer version of FIFA.
It's like Pit My Ride with FIFA, right?
It's like a smaller street. Yeah, pretty much a smaller street. And you could do like more tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a urban setting. Yeah, like that. Like what's on
they
screen.
They did it with NBA Streets.
Yeah, NBA you know Street, yeah.
You know what's funny? I really don't like sports games usually, but for some reason when NBA Street came out or NBA Jams, where they put some weird goofy element into it, I was all about it.
It's like, more like arcade-y.
Yeah, arcade-y. Yeah. But serious sports games like Madden and FIFA in general, I'm not into it.
Yeah,
but I know
Mario Kart's awesome, but a serious street, like racing sim, not that fun.
Oh.
Like, and you could go on and on. Mario fucking tennis, not that fun. Mm-hmm. You play the official game that's very technical. I mean, sorry. The Mario one is awesome, but the other one, you know what I mean? When you make it arcadey, it makes it just more fun for the casuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you make it urban, I love it too, because Def Jam... Fight for New York or something like that. Do you remember?
No, was that like on...
Oh my God, yeah. It was a wrestling game with all the rappers you could think of, and like even who's that one hot model?
Bring Carmen, that up, Bobby.
Carmen something.
What's it called?
Carmen San Diego.
Not Carmen San Diego. Def Jam, right there. Fight for New York was the first one, and then they came out with a couple ones after that. But literally, Snoop Dogg was in it. Busta was in it. I don't think maybe Busta was.
Is this
in
one
it.
Of the games that got like really shit reviews? Even though
it did it get shit reviews? It was so much fun. Are
I remember a game called Shaq Fu. You guys ever played that?
Yeah.
Rumor is they're remaking that game.
Really?
This is not a bad game. Yeah. Please look up the reviews for this game, because I played through this game.
Shaq kind of wanted
to be Exhibit is in this game. Like, I can't even tell you. And you made your own rapper, and you climbed your way through the ranks.
Wait, what's
and
it called?
Shit.
I'm sorry.
It's called Def Jam.
Oh, Def Jam. Yeah.
Def Jam. Fight for New York.
It, yeah.
So Bobby likes to play old games, and she only talks about games that were, 15 years old? She? 10 years old?
What?
I used to play this with my brothers. I used to play this.
I played. It's so funny because you guys are. Bobby is obviously a generation before me with
Danny
his gaming
Trejo?
Choices.
That's Donnie Trejo right there.
I'm a millennial gamer, guys. Ludicrous. I'm a true millennial gamer.
That is Exhibit. Luda, is
yeah, I told you. Like, this game is...
Bobby's in.
it's actually a lot of fun. You get to customize your own star. You could be a female.
GOG.com.
Yeah.
As played through... What's
Carmen
that
Electra,
website?
That's right.
Bobby, what's the other... Plug that other website?
Oh, WSGF.
Yeah.
But this couldn't be on PC, though. This was
I was Carmen.
Game.
Carmen Electra. Yep. That's Kimora Lee. Fucking Kimora Lee is in here, too.
Where's Vanilla Ice
I'm
at?
Sorry. He's probably in there
no
somewhere.
No M&M.
Yeah, but back on to the news. The games. New games coming out.
Okay, so
E3
continuing on the E3 announcements. The Sims 4, they have an island update.
Don't lead with that ever again.
We're never, not leading with that. No, this are, we're halfway sense. Through this.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Sims 4, yeah, they have an island update, Island Living, and it's going to have, they said interesting enough, there's kind of a focus on just kind of like an earthy thing, you know, being kind to the environment kind of deal going on. Yeah. But, you know, just all the island things.
Looks like theme. Moana.
It's like Fantasy Island, I guess. I don't know. Like everybody's on an island stranded there and... You build your little house there.
Ooh.
I don't know. Something if you're a Sims fan.
Loop, have you ever played The Sims?
No.
See, that was my homework. I also hated that, too.
Yeah.
So that's where The Sims 4, I should clarify.
Yeah.
Also, Battlefield 5 getting more maps. Looks like a Pacific map, so it looked really good. Let me see if I can bring this up.
I think it's based
there.
Off of Japan.
Yeah, so it's going to focus on the really? Japanese side of the war.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I have been watching... Ayo Purple on now that there people are hooking up their Twitch streams.
Yeah,
now that we have
big
a thing.
Shout out to Shadow Master actually putting forcing us to put a decent channel in our Discord.
Yeah.
In our Discord community, don't forget to check it out. The link
I'm more likely to check out your
website.
Stream if you put it in there than otherwise because that shit scrolls away in the Hangout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shadow Master anyway, making things happen.
He's been playing Firestorm. And so that was my first real watch of the Battlefield 5 Battle Royale.
Nice.
And it looks almost wanted to pull me in.
I played it. No, I played Fire. I didn't like it. Yeah. I didn't like it at all.
BF5?
No, BF5 I like. Oh. Just the Battle Royale portion of it. Yeah.
It's
are you big
match.
On BF5? Do you own it?
I've played it, a few times.
Yeah. But I totally get it. Once you're a CS player, that's all you want to play, right? I always got to go back to CS.
I don't. This is the thing about me, right? At this point in time, yes, I am grinding CS, but I do get bored of it. I do get bored of it quite often.
You have to.
Yeah, but the issue is I'm very reluctant to try new games. You know what I mean? But once I do, I get hooked. That's what happened to me with Fortnite, Rocket League, Apex. I'm very reluctant. I don't know why. It's just like I'll see someone recommend a game and then I'll like...
What if once you get hooked, doesn't that take... Inevitably, it's going to take away from your skills from Counter-Strike, isn't it?
I mean, the more time...
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
If you get addicted to something, you're not going to be playing every day Counter-Strike, and that's going to affect your skills, so... Maybe that's why you stay away from other games, or that's why, you know what I mean?
Probably, yeah.
Well, or you just don't stray for too long.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
How many times have you tried to slide and see us after playing Apex, right?
No, I've tried to build before.
That's so goofy.
I get in a gunfight and I'm like, wait, where am I fucking next at, dog? Yeah.
All right, so that was pretty much it from EA. They had some Madden news. I think Ray was excited about that, but who cares? Yeah. New RPO, new run pass options. I'm sure someone cares about that. A lot of people probably do. Not me, though.
Yeah, without Ray here, there's no one to really disagree with.
Yeah, by the way, fast.
Minnie and Ray, I just, like, those two I never agreed with at all in terms of, like, impressions of video games.
Fast got upset because Ray called him out for being too hyped up on games. And I'm like, hey, Kettle, calling the, or how's that work? How's somebody call something black? But anyway, like, Ray gets hyped up on everything, and then he's calling out Fastidious. Anyway, Fast is off the server once again. I'm sure he'll be back.
All right, next up, let's see. So, Blizzard apparently had canceled a StarCraft first-person shooter to focus on Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2. So before we get into this, this is from Jason Schreier of Kotaku. This is the guy who wrote the book Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. This is the guy who's broken many stories. He has many contacts within the gaming world, within the industry. He interviews them in private, secretly, doesn't reveal their names. He gets a lot of inside information that nobody else knows, and then he writes very good pieces on it. So it came out from a Twitter post that somebody had left Blizzard and they had to cancel whatever project they were working on. And then Jason eventually wrote this article outlining kind of what exactly happened, some other stuff going on with Blizzard as well. So StarCraft first-person shooter was in the works. They canceled it after 2 years. They had also mentioned that Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2 were being worked on. Now, what was interesting about this, oh my God, I totally forgot. What was it? Oh, the Overwatch 2. So that seems weird. Why make a sequel to Overwatch?
Yeah.
This Overwatch 2 sequel, according to someone who worked there, was focusing on single player, and he compared it, the person who worked on it at Blizzard compared it to kind of like Left 4 Dead single player type gameplay, like a co-op type thing. Dude, weird.
Sounds so weird. I would only imagine that would be not part two, but that would be kind of like a DLC type.
Or like an
situation.
Event, because they've done that before.
Or like an event.
And those events have been really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And maybe that's what they're going off of, the feedback.
I mean,
from that.
If it's just a single player game, it would make sense to release a different game, because Overwatch is an esports. It's a multiplayer esports.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no like single player campaign. Right? And because I was thinking, like, if they did release another multiplayer Overwatch, like, how would that work? Like, Overwatch is a relatively new esports. You know, they tried the same thing with CS, you know, a couple of years after CS 1.6 came out, they released Source. Remember? And then the community split.
Yeah.
And it was just really bad.
Yeah. You couldn't have a sequel to that because it would totally damage the whole esports franchise.
It would mess everything up.
Yeah, but Diablo 4, I know a lot of people have been waiting for that, so I'm sure people are excited about that. A first-person StarCraft thing, I mean, somebody from Blizzard said, like, publicly, like, look, half the stuff we work on gets axed anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, don't be, like, too upset about this. But
Bobby, didn't we already go through this? Wasn't there a first-person or
Ghost?
At least a third? Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
that,
but I'm saying we've gone through this.
Yeah,
I guess that's what he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything, most things get axed.
Yeah.
I mean, Overwatch was an MMO.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Titan or whatever, Titan. Yeah. And look
who knows
came
what
came out.
Happens, man.
So they did talk a little bit about, like, the Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2. They expect this to be announcements at BlizzCon this year. Not for sure, but that's a speculation. So hopefully we'll hear more about that soon. We're still waiting on a classic and Reforged. Warcraft.
Did you ever get into Overwatch or any Blizzard games at all, Loop?
I've played some Overwatch.
Some Overwatch?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Not a big fan.
No, it's fun. The sample size is really small. I only played for like an hour or so.
Oh, okay.
So I need to play more. I like games like those that are like fast paced, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanics are quite a bit different from CS.
Yeah. Yeah, big change from that.
Mm.
Excuse me. All right. Next up, new Xbox app for PC is leaked, and it looks like a replacement for the Microsoft Store. This in conjunction with they've also priced the new Xbox Game Pass at $5 a month and listed some games that will be included in it. A bunch of Halo games, you know, all the stuff you would expect from Microsoft. The Sea of Thieves, all the stuff that's kind of already on the Microsoft Store.
What's the Game Pass? Is that
like, I'm super confused, dude.
Yeah.
I have Xbox games on my PC right now through the Xbox app. What's the difference between this and the other one?
So this looks like a launcher, but based on the screenshots, it looks like a separate launcher.
As opposed just, to an...
Because right now for the Xbox or for Microsoft games on a Windows PC, like you just load it like it's an app on your computer. Like the, you just pull it out of the start menu or whatever the hell it's called now.
Like a lot. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this looks like its own separate launcher based off the screenshots. And so for $5, for $5 a month, you get, let me pull up the list of the games here too. Cause there was one on there where I was like, okay, maybe. But for $5 a month, that's half the price of all these other subscription services. So this is just like Origin does, where you pay a certain amount of money per month and you get access to all these games. You still have to download them and run them on your computer. You have to have the hardware, unlike Stadia. But you do technically have these games.
For as long as they're paying for the subscription. So
yeah.
It would be worth it for $5. I don't. I mean, I definitely regret my Origin Access Premier purchase. It has not proven to be worth its value for me.
Really? You aren't using it that much?
No, I'm not. There's just so many games that I own that I'm not really playing. I'd rather would have bought the game outright than not.
I mean, how many games do you get with the Xbox thing? Like, a lot?
So, Xbox Game Pass, Ruiner, Void Bastard, Wargroove, Cluster. This might be the current one that they have. Yeah.
What I've noticed is, like, what they do for these kind of services, they don't offer you the AAA games most of the time. They offer you, like, the smaller, more indie games, so,
Origin, well, they have their Premier one now, but Origin will have some of those really good ones, like Battlefield 5, when it came out was on there. So I think a lot of the multiplayer ones that are relying on a huge multiplayer base, they will include with that. But a game like Jedi Fallen Order, no, you won't get that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't find a list of the games.
Well, I feel like it's unfortunate that sometimes, well, for me in Origin Access Premier, there have been some AAA titles that I've played, Sims 4 being one of them. I had already pre-purchased and bought Mass Effect. I don't think Anthem was Anthem a Premier game?
Yeah, it was.
It was a premiere game.
Day one.
Yeah. The fact that I didn't like that, of course, I wasn't really getting my money's worth. But I really feel like, I don't know, I'm not going to get my money's worth from Origin Premier Access just because most of the games on there, either want to own it. And for instance, Andromeda, I own that game, but I wouldn't be able to finish it in the first year that I owned it, just based off my gaming habits. So I'm not getting my money's worth.
Yeah.
If I'm not completing it within that year.
$5 a month runs out in a year.
That's not bad. That's a sub. That's a Twitch sub.
Yeah.
That's true. And you do get a lot of
games. Actually, that's funny. Sinuous Sacrifice, Hellblade, is on here. That was the game I was trying to hunt down for. I'm like, who has this game? How do I play it?
So Humble Bundle right now. If you donate $12, you get that. Oh, you want to bring it up just so I don't fuck it up?
That's what I was going to bring up earlier. I just forgot the name. I was wondering if Bobby got all his 7,000 games from Humble Bundle.
A lot of them.
Humble Bundle and several other sites.
And just bundles. When bundles were a big thing like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Bobby was all up in the bundle game.
Yeah, I just bought them all up.
Yep. Okay, so their standard comes with... Okay, so Moonlighter and Hellblade are both very highly liked by the DLG crew. Mm-hmm. We like both of them. I almost gave Hellblade a Game of the Year. So that's how much I like
that one. They haven't announced the other games, but that alone right there, if you don't have either of those games, Moonlighter, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
No replay, zero replay value, you know, like 15 hours on that and you're done, but like it was a great 15 hours. All right. Let's see. Next up, we got a trailer for the new Doom Annihilation movie.
It's only 40 seconds long.
Maybe it's kind of a teaser trailer.
Can we get some volume, Bobby? And I'm just going to not say anything. See what you guys think.
Die,
Well, I'm just trying to recognize anybody in the cast.
They opened up a portal to hell.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
It's fucking...
I'm sorry. No, thank you.
Dog shit. Dog shit.
It looks like a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Yeah. Well, nah. 10 years ago. Yeah, not even that.
So. I don't know. So I've been kind of tracking this movie a little bit. Like, I hear things on Twitter every now and then. It pops up in my Google feed. And, yeah, it hasn't looked good from the start. But, yeah, like I've been saying, what video game movies do. Even the new ones, man. Even the big budget ones. The one with Michael Fassbender. Not Prince of Persia. What's that other one? Assassin's Creed. Terrible movie. So boring. Oh, my God. Don't even know what was happening. Might have fallen asleep.
He saved the Alien movie, the newest one. Alien...
Yeah.
Whatever it was. He was the best part of that movie.
As the android?
Yeah.
Hey, good for him, man. He's getting a lot of good roles. He's a good actor. And
that's what I'm hearing about the X-Men movie. Like, it's a bad movie, mm-hmm. but Sansa or whatever is, like, the best part of it. What's her name? I don't know.
All right, show. Last bit of news. Mordhau has sold 1 million copies, celebrates a new map and mortars. So this is a game we checked out a couple weeks ago. Fun game, a lot of dueling, a lot of combat, but we definitely agreed that it needed more content, especially more maps. And so they've added a new one and apparently mortars, which is great too, because they had like the little trebuchets or something like that.
Yeah, like little tiny catapults, and I think there was trebuchets. I would like a lot less killing of Emilio in this game. That would be fantastic for me.
I yeah. still want to play this game.
That's the game that we were showing at the beginning. You were like, hey, what's this? It's like the
it's like a medieval combat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got new weapons, balances, paints, armor paints. Yeah. So just new content in general. It's what the game needs. I think is it still in beta? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I bet it is.
It kind of felt like it was, but it's possible that it's not. No, it's not.
No.
Official launch. That's yeah. cool.
Yeah, but...
I don't remember seeing the trebuchets in action.
It was part of the training. It's not like a trebuchet. It's a little small thing. A little tiny, like,
catapult. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what they called it in-game?
Yeah. Hmm. There's a big difference between a trebuchet and a catapult, but yeah. You're obviously not on Reddit. There's two warring subreddits about what the most superior siege weapon is, and it's just like memes about how good a catapult is versus how I'm talking about hundreds a day memes versus how good a trebuchet is. Anyway, it's pretty hilarious.
Time for listener questions. Let's see. First one coming from Epic Tryhard Faye. It's been a while since we heard from him. Each of you is a Ninja Turtle. Who is who? How about the Beatles and Ghostbusters?
We should do one, right? Because it's all, I feel like...
I don't know all the Beatles and or Ghostbusters because I'm a piece of shit. But
you can't name them?
I do know the Ninja Turtles.
Well, I just found out how out of touch I am with pop culture.
Yeah.
I know John Lennon, but...
Okay, there you go. Okay, that's a start.
But you could definitely name the Ninja Turtles, right?
Okay, tell me one name, and I'll name the others, maybe.
Leonardo.
Okay.
Nope.
Michelangelo. Nope. Raphael.
It's funny because I used to watch that.
Well, obviously, Bobby's Donatello.
Am I?
Because you're the tech one, right?
I'm kind of the party dude, though, Michelangelo.
You're a Michelangelo?
No, maybe I'm more... I am cool but crude, so I could see myself as a Raphael. Like, we should. Is there a way to do a poll on Discord? We should.
Yeah, you guys answer.
I feel like I don't know. My personal favorite.
You're Michelangelo, Chi.
Michael. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Michelangelo.
Cowabunga.
Yeah.
No, maybe she's Raphael.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because she has a spicy side.
Yeah.
Who
would Raphael?
I like Raphael.
Yeah.
But my personal favorite is Donatello. But I don't think I'm a Donatello. Donatello is more like the solid leader type, you know.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, Leonardo is obviously the leader.
Yeah.
But I do like the bow staff. I'll go with the bow staff.
Yeah. Trace the weapon, bow staff. Yeah.
I know Leonardo. Who's the other one? We're missing one. We haven't mentioned yet.
Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, and...
Splinter.
No.
There's only four.
Four.
Oh.
Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are these fanny turtles?
How about like anything?
They're named after
Italian
yeah. Renaissance.
How about DBZ artists. Characters? Do you know DBZ?
DBZ Luke? Like Goku?
Maybe.
There you go.
I'm trying to think because he's. I'm trying to think like what he grew up with. Versus what we grew up with.
I watched Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, okay, Avatar.
My favorite cartoon of all time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that show.
Oh, by the way, Netflix doing a brand new reboot.
Really?
Yep.
Animated, right?
Animated.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
Then again, I've been spreading these rumors.
So like SpongeBob and Avatar.
SpongeBob,
and
yeah,
it's
SpongeBob.
All based on one video.
See, that's still kind of my generation, too.
So. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm like, 10 years younger than all of you guys? 20 years younger than Emilio?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Well, I don't know.
I love this.
Emilio,
what
just happened? Did I get shit on?
You could be my dad, dude. Like,
yes!
I'm just saying.
Son.
I'm not trying to talk shit, you know?
Literally, easily. I could easily be a dad.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. You guys have the beard thing going on.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Warconius asks, a favorite cleavage in a game? Borderlands cel-shaded boobies are noteworthy.
Seeing that screenshot that he put up of Moxie,
the bartender.
Yeah. I was like, man, that might be the best cleavage in video game history. But first of all, I gotta pay tribute to the old school, man. I guess there wasn't much cleavage there, but I would Tomb Raider 1, like those triangles were fantastic triangles.
The originator,
yeah,
the progenitor of all cleavage in video games. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Spitter Left 4 Dead 2.
Stop you
definitely
with
a contender.
The
ew. What about Tracy from GTA 5?
Bobby.
Maybe.
From what? Which one?
GTA 5.
Oh, GTA 5.
GTA 5.
Yeah,
I have a favorite pair, but I don't remember what game it was. It was a PlayStation 2 RPG. And then also another PlayStation 2 RPG. Oh, you know what? It's either going to be the chick from Red Ninja or Aya Bria from Parasite Eve. Like old school. Cleavage.
Yeah, of course. Everybody knows those.
Mm, yeah. No, not at all.
Classic.
Cool people.
Classic.
Yeah, classic.
Lore.
Tits.
DLG lore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Warconius, always with the double questions here. No, that's the same one. You copied and pasted it twice.
All right, because, you know, I like him that much.
Epic Tryhard Face has another question.
This is a good one.
Okay, it's a long one. PC Gamer reported that Rocksteady won't be at E3, but will stay at home working on their next big project. Why are game studios so secretive about what they're working on? What benefit does no info or buzz serve them? Isn't the old adage, there's no such thing as bad press? Seems like Cyberpunk 2077 is going to break pre-order records because because CD Projekt Red is one studio doing the opposite. So definitely, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Like, yeah, definitely get some press for that stuff. But dude, people can get a bad taste in their mouth right away from something, and you'll never get rid of that.
First impressions.
You can ruin a game before it ever sees the light of day.
Yeah. So maybe your development skills are amazing, but your PR skills aren't that great. Or,
well, not only that, if you show something and you show it at a very early stage and then everybody sees that and then the game comes out or you show it again and people are like, where the hell is that one feature? Where is that one thing? Like you showed that in the people get livid about that stuff. It's like, it's so easy to like upset PC gamers. So I totally understand them being secretive about that. Like you got to be careful about that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. It could be anywhere. It's such a wide spectrum.
I feel like they would know best. You know,
there's probably a good
not
reason.
Only are they developers in the industry, but they probably have a much stronger impression of the industry than most of us. So if they're deciding that they do want to keep it a secret project for now, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, Apex did it.
Yeah.
And you know, and like you said, there's so many things that die before they even see the light.
So there's a spectrum. It 100% worked for Apex, and it's 100% working for CD Projekt Red. Two completely different avenues. Both are valid,
mm-hmm.
right? It all comes down to the way you want to play your hand. who you're trying to get the most money out of the public. Mm-hmm. You really need to evaluate your game, where you're at in development, mm-hmm. and how you're going to play your hand that you've been dealt.
That could have been their PR move right there, saying we're so hush-hush on this next big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, maybe this is part of their, it could be part of their marketing strategy.
Yeah. And then there's the leaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we got one more listener question, but it's for Ray, so we'll save that till next week. Let's see. I guess that's it for the show. What's everybody playing next week?
I'm not sure. Splitgate. Have you guys seen that?
Splitgate. Yeah.
Oh, we played a little bit of that.
Mm. Yeah. Have you played it at all?
No, I'm going to try it.
So prepare to be disappointed.
Oh, really?
It's all right. It's okay. All right.
It's good for an hour or two.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it the Halo with portals?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if it's only good for an hour or two, then what's the point of playing it?
But it's free.
Well, I mean, it's cool to check out.
Yeah. Okay. It's like watching Doom Annihilation.
You'll have to play Battalion. Right.
Maybe not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep forgetting to bring this up, but Sigil was finally released, the unofficial John Romero-made fifth level to Doom for the 25th or 30th anniversary. I can't remember. That is available out there. You can download it, run it off of GZ Doom. So
free?
Yeah, it's free. You can get like a deluxe edition, like where they actually send you a copy of the game and it comes with a whole bunch of other swag. But yeah, you can download it for free. It's called Sigil. And I've heard it's really good.
The other one that came out was Doom 2 with ray tracing.
Quake 2 with RTX. Yeah. So if you have an RTX card, which I don't think any of us have. None of us have.
So our Patreon can be found on.
Yeah. What about you, Chi? What are you playing?
Hopefully not Dungreen. Can I do a hard video on this fucking...
And it has to be streamed.
Try it. I think you should try it.
You know how hard it is for me to like anything?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you tell us all the time.
Yeah. And we also know that you don't do your homework. So that's why it's got to be streamed now.
I can't wait to tune in on a Dungeon stream.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. God.
I'll be watching.
Well, luckily enough, I'll have clowns in the background juggling or something. Just, you know, some entertainment value. I'm just kidding.
All right, Amelia, what are you playing?
I already mentioned. I mean,
you got a bunch of stuff on
your
list.
Depends on my it depends on how much time I have. Like, I'm going out of town tomorrow. So
Shank, Void Bastards.
Yeah. All of that. So, speaking for Bobby, Chi, Adam, and myself, Void Titties. Bye, everybody. Void of titties. I feel like the guy who made this song has no idea how popular he is.
Who did you take it from? Who made it?
This is KeyGen Music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't remember what software.
Yeah.